about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
In here.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
In here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, remember when my boss called you Rob Durden for about 3 hours straight?
Love that. I love that so much. I love it so much. I love the fact that I just didn't say anything, and then it just kept riding and riding. Like, I just love it.
You made the whole thing gold. It could have been just, like, one little slip-up, but you made it a legendary moment.
I just love... I'm glad that I have that opportunity to share that with those guys, because it is funny.
Still not funny.
Still not funny.
Would not recommend it.
Now on with the countdown.
And now.
I don't know, but let the record show, you will not see the groundhog Punxsutawney Phil on this program tonight. However, he did see his shadow, too, in Pennsylvania, and that means 6 more weeks of winter.
Okay.
So there.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. We really accomplished something there, didn't we?
Anytime you have a newscaster saying, so there, you know you've done a good thing. An anchorman on a major network newscast going, so there.
We called him a bunch of times, and we said, hey, don't cover that. It's stupid. So he didn't, but he couldn't help but giving the results.
They
anyway.
Had to. They felt the need, yeah.
You won't see it here.
People want to know.
But he didn't see his shadow, so whatever that means.
By the way, your telephone call is coming up next for Kevin Bean's Tuesday edition of What to Do Nephew. Miss Cleo apparently out with the food poisoning, which I don't understand how that's possible because Mike doesn't allow her to eat anything. So
that's
what could
true.
She possibly
yeah,
have?
Eat, Mike?
Well, Miss Cleo doesn't follow a diet ever, so I mean, I'm sure she had, you know, a pie or something.
Usually you just let her have dust. I mean, that's all she just, whatever she can get out of the air, she's allowed to eat. That's about it. So I don't know how she got food poisoning. But anyway, intern Hung is answering your calls today. So go easy on him. He's
good
slow.
Luck with that.
So 1-800-520-1067. Here's my whole thing. Groundhog Day is stupid, as Kevin said, and it only exists because the media cover it. That's the only reason they still do it is because television cameras show up and broadcast it.
Right.
If we could do our part to stop it being covered, it would just wither up and die away. They wouldn't have it for five people if that's all that showed up and no one talked about it.
But you got to wonder how something like that gets started. Hey, you know what we should do? We should totally have a groundhog.
That is.
And then.
Was it some old wives' tale and then they turned it into a commercial event for the town?
I don't know how it got started. I do know that it has some history, and God forbid we talk about this and somebody calls and extends the conversation, but it has some history in the fact that February 2nd is the middle of winter. It's right between the winter solstice and the summer solstice. So it's supposed to be like a time to go, all right, where are we? Let's progress check.
Right. But you can't step outside and go cloudy?
Well, you sure can. And let me tell you, when it started in the 1880s, and I think that weather prediction has come a distance since then. And
a bit.
I think there are lots of ways to find out what the long-range forecast is likely to be without depending on a rodent. So, yeah, they do it. And you know, thousands of people show up in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And by the way, 95% of the time, it's the same prediction, which is 6 more weeks of winter, because it's freaking February, okay? It's not like we're doing this at the end of March and there's a chance that it's almost over in most places. It's the middle of February. It's the first of February, first week of February. So clearly, winter is still going to be around like it always is.
They're almost guaranteed 6 more weeks of winter just by where they do it.
That's true.
Where they do it and when and the date that they choose, right. But accuracy rate on the groundhog, 39%.
Yeah.
So
that's
anymore.
Not
good. Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Really? That's just it?
Yes. So stop it, people.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's take your phone calls on that or any other topic. You get on the air, you get a prize. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew at
1-800-520-1067. We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of tickets to the Auto Club 500? That's on Sunday, February
21st. Sunday!
February 21st at the Auto Club Speedway. It's the kickoff of the NASCAR season, and that's what you get for being on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our friend Marilyn, who's calling with another angle on February 2nd.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hey.
Hi.
You know that they don't have groundhogs in Alaska, so Sarah Palin, when she was governor, officially declared it Marmot Day.
Which is an animal that's close to the groundhog, I guess?
Close, but they have them in Alaska, but they don't have groundhogs.
That was the perfect chance to get out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to declare it dead and move on and not celebrate it and all that, but then they had to change it to something else.
Mar- Retirement Day.
Yeah.
And a lot of states are doing this now. I don't know why you look at something as lame as Groundhog Day and go, hey, let's duplicate that. Let's do a lesser version of that, the one that's popular.
What do we have here in California?
Mexicans.
What are we going to do? Kangaroo Rat Day?
Yeah.
Texas Day. Texas like has it. Armadillo. They do Armadillo Day. And they have the Armadillo predict. I swear to God, they have the Armadillo. Dello predict the weather. So.
We have the Border Patrol that checks whether the illegal aliens have a shadow or not as they run through the desert. That's how they do it here.
We have Al Roker. He's a varmint.
Yeah, Al Roker. Yeah, he's great. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Marilyn. Bye.
Let's try Mike. Mike's on line 6 calling about a big event in the music world that happened yesterday. Hey, Mike. Welcome to the show. What it do?
Hey, what it do? What it do, Kelly Boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, you know, I mean, Quincy Jones wrote We Are the World way back when, and they had every star of the day. Was it Quincy Jones?
Yeah. Well, he produced it. It was written by Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson.
That's right. But, I mean, way back when, they had every star of the day come and sing this song.
Right.
I figured if you got lots of charities that come up, and you have a lot of talented people out in the world, why couldn't they write their own version and call it something new besides, hey, let's redo We Are the World?
It does seem lame.
I mean, it just seems like, I know one of you guys' favorite topic is how originality is dead with movies and everything, but here we are with music now, and to me, it's now time to just pack it up and leave.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Would you be more interested in hearing a song that was something new?
I would.
I would, absolutely. I mean, you've got talented people out there who can write something original, but yeah, let's redo something from 20 years ago.
There is a Will.i.am song that he did on the telethon that I can just barely understand the words, and the words that he does sing are lame and lame, lame. Maybe we should use that one. Earthquake, earthquake, Haiti, shake.
I liked the Jay-Z Earthquake song, by the way.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Stranded? I thought that was really good, but it's not the type of thing. The thing about We Are the World is the way it was originally done is it lends itself to having everybody sing one line, you know? So maybe you're right. Maybe they're just being lazy on it, or they figure that song has kind of a built-in fan base because a lot of people already know it around the world, so it's more likely to sell more copies. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that, Mike. I think you make a good point, though.
And the other one that they're redoing, I heard this morning coming in, is Everybody Hurts with the superstar cast, which I hadn't heard of most of the people that were on it.
Hmm.
But anyway, it's, you know, that's how old is that song?
Yeah, that's
25 years?
20 years old, too, yeah. All right, good call, Mike. Thank you very much. Hang on for your prize. Let's try Antonio on line 3, calling the Kevin Bean Show. By the way, Ralph Garman will have Oscar nominations for you in the Showbiz Beat coming up in about 10 minutes, so do not go away. They're unveiling 10 Best Picture nominees this morning. Hey, Antonio, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? What it do?
What it do?
Just quick. I was me and a friend of mine over the weekend were going to Target over here in Whittier, and we happen to walk in. We go to the electronic department looking at the latest Blu-ray movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so on our way over there in the baby aisles, we see this beautiful girl over there. I mean, this girl was hot. I mean, she wasn't dressed too revealing, but you could tell this girl was, you know, underneath all of that, she was just some awesome,
right,
an awesome-looking woman. She was there with her mom, I'm assuming. So we're sitting there, we're walking from aisle to aisle trying to get, you know, good eye contact with this girl, and, you know, we're standing about an aisle away.
Were you walking through aisles that had stuff you had zero interest in,
you
just
know,
because?
We were like in the baby lotion.
You saw her in the baby aisle.
Yeah, you know, three guys in the baby lotion area.
Sure.
Diaper rash cream and all that,
a little,
you know?
Creepy.
So, you know, all of a sudden, coming down the aisle, we see this guy coming in with two kids, and we're getting closer and closer, and we're looking like, no way, it can't be this guy. Vitor Belfort, the ex former light heavyweight champion who's about to fight for the belt in about
from the UFC
2 months, walks up to this guy, and we just happen to realize that was his wife.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, his wife.
Yeah, and then, you know, then she whispers something in his ear, and this guy just looks at us, and we were just like, should we even go talk to
these
this guy?
These guys are creeping me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Vitor's wife is a Brazilian model. So yeah, these guys were definitely smitten with her.
That was your one chance, man. You gonna let a UFC fighter keep you from that?
Yeah, well, I was there with two fat friends, and I weigh about 160. So you know, it wasn't gonna be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's a good thing you didn't jump on her, dude.
He was a cool guy though. Shook his hand. We didn't have a camera to take a picture with him, and you know, it was all good. It was really all good.
All right.
You know,
did you talk to his wife? Did you just go, "Hey, hi to me. Nice to meet you too," or just?
Oh,
Nothing.
No, not a word.
No, not a word.
All right, you're a pussy. Thank you for calling. Bye now.
Cleveland.
Steamer.
Oh, no.
Blew the opportunity there altogether, I guess.
And let's go to Gerardo.
Do we have to?
We don't have to, but... Hey, Gerardo.
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys ever noticed that the Mike the Situation, the Jersey Shore guy, and Pauly Shore, both talentless, but they look exactly alike in the face. If you Photoshop their, you know, just change their face.
I could see that.
Yeah, they look exactly like this. You know, they're both ugly, but...
Right, that helps when you're looking alike.
Yeah, some similarities.
Yeah, because that's when I first saw the Jersey Shore, I said... That's Pauly Shore. Then he took off his shirt. I knew it wasn't him.
Who knew that we would prefer the Situation
yeah.
to any other person on the planet?
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it?
By the way, the Situation, I guess I didn't know this ahead of time. The Situation was on the red carpet at the Grammys for Access Hollywood.
Oh, no.
The Situation was out there interviewing Ringo Starr and all the other people that show up at the thing, and I couldn't believe, you know, people like John Legend, people who I respect, were coming up going, oh my God, the Situation, Jim, Tan, Laundry.
Are you
They were treating him like he's a star.
He is a star, Bean.
But he's the Situation, right? And he's on Jersey Shore.
Yeah. That's funny.
We're going to have sex. So, you know, it's a situation.
That is the Situation. Yeah.
All right, Gerardo, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You don't want to get on his downside either because...
You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Yes.
No, that's like being excommunicated from your church,
yeah,
when you can't show up for chicken cutlet night.
I do not want to be excluded from chicken cutlet night. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the Situation. Let's listen up.
The Situation. We just did. We just gave you a situation update. We are going to talk about Lost as it debuts again tonight.
Yes.
And we have no idea what's going on, to be honest.
None.
And I probably have less idea than anyone else on the planet because
I
have...
I'm fighting you for it this time, dude.
All right.
I got to tell you, that is a distant memory, that show.
So, and it's one of those shows that you really do need to kind of catch up on before you move on. So we're going to talk to Michael Emerson today, who of course plays Ben on Lost. And the last I remember, like, someone stabbed him, or I can't remember what happened, but is he dead? Like, it matters on Lost, really? Because they'll just go back in time. But anyway, we're going to talk to him coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're excited about that.
Okay.
I am, and I'm looking forward to finding out what kinds of answers we can expect, because I don't think they're going to answer everything.
I don't think they're going to answer much of anything. I mean, if we've seen anything from this show, it's that there are always more questions than answers.
Where do the kids go? Why does that one guy never age? What's with the big statue with the foot? I mean, there's so many things that I'm hoping to have revealed to us this season, but I don't want to get my hopes up that they're going to tell us too much.
No, good luck with that.
That's how they are.
Good luck with that. I think that's good. Osama bin Laden put out another tape. He is blaming America for global warming.
Well, sure.
Who knew he's dead?
And for being the great infidel.
Really, how do you take it? That's a step down from the great infidel.
I think so. Yeah.
You're right. You're
causing
right.
global warming. Come on now. That's not quite
like
as bad.
It's like saying, hey, you killed my family and you're ugly.
Right.
I mean, what's the point of throwing in you're ugly?
Plus, look at them. They're ugly.
Right.
We have a great internet roundup for you that includes Sean White just demolishing his head on the half pipe at the Winter X Games.
Yeah.
He hit his head so hard that his helmet flew off. And then, like a real stud, came back out and won the gold medal in the same event.
Yeah.
Oh, he's unbelievable. And isn't it interesting? I mean, I guess that shows you how important the X Games are to athletes like Sean White, because a lot of guys would go, not going to risk this with the Olympics in 2 weeks. There's a chance they can get hurt. And I'd rather win the gold at the Olympics. But apparently he can and will do it all.
Yeah, he's something. You're
it's
right.
Really impressive.
I would go, got to have a year off, people. I got to think about things. He goes right back out. And the first run that he does is so far ahead of everybody else, he doesn't even have to go again, but he does a couple times just to be gamely.
Just because he can.
We're going to talk to Alicia, who is a listener who's very upset about the fact that we are disrespecting the very, very important Groundhog Day. She's very upset about
that. Really?
Mm-hmm. Means a lot to her.
Really?
Someone out there, a young person in 2010, still excited about Groundhog Day and still wants to see it going. Okay.
Yeah. And she's angry at us because we're not giving it its respect.
Wow.
We're also going to talk about the New Jersey Nets in the NBA. I don't know if you've been following. Probably not, unless you're from New Jersey. But they are on pace to be the worst team ever.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I think they have 4 wins and 42 losses or something like that.
Oh, that's so sad. Right?
I mean, how do you, I don't even know how you as a team are that bad.
Oh, man.
It kind of reminds me of a couple of seasons ago when the Detroit Lions lost about their first 10 games or so, and then everybody thought, wow, could this be the year that somebody goes, you know, doesn't win a single game? And the rest of the country starts to get invested in how bad this club is and wondering if they can be one of the worst of all time. And that's what we're looking at with the Nets.
Man, I'll tell you, you see the Nets and they show highlights and, you know, it's traveling and every way that they can turn the ball over, they do. Every possible way.
It now looks they're like, just going for it.
It looks like JV high school basketball. It really does. It's crazy. Okay. We also need to call Australia because Australia is putting out kind of a weird rule slash law, which is that you can be topless there, but not if you have small breasts. If you have like A cup breasts, you can't be topless because
they say
it encourages the pedophiles amongst them to be turned on because it sort of looks like a kid. I kid. This sounds like I'm making it up because it's really, really stupid. But happening.
I don't believe them. I think they're doing it because the
beaches. They don't like small boobs?
Yeah, the beaches are more attractive to people and they're encouraging tourism.
Right, but they threw in the whole thing about the pedophiles.
Well, they need a reason.
Well, that's not a reason. That's stupid.
What else are you going to say?
Not as attractive.
No, you can't say that.
This is the surgery, post-surgery only beach. So anyway, we're going to call Australia and talk to them about that. And we always extract the good information when we make those calls. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Hey!
It is 5:55.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I feel bad for a hardworking entertainment reporter like Ralph Garman. A day like today when there's nothing really going on to have to come in and try to put something on the air. I mean, how do you even fill the time, Ralph?
See, what Bean's doing here is Oscar nominations were released this morning.
So there, but he said nothing was going
on. See, that's where the comedy comes in because it's the exact opposite of how things really are.
So
but comedy in quotes, though, right?
Right.
Oh, not even. Comedy with a K.
Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
It is Oscar nomination day. And, you know, today's the big day because this is the first time 10 feature films have ever been nominated for Best Picture. The reason the Oscars are doing that this year is because they're finding out the 5 they normally nominate each and every year are critical darlings, but no one has seen them or gives a rat's ass.
Yeah, that makes it a problem.
Problematic. If they do 10, they'll get some more popular motion pictures in that list, and people actually tune in to the Oscars to have a rooting interest to see if their favorite wins the award or not.
If The Hangover is not on that list, I will not watch.
Well, you will not be watching this year.
Really?
Then. Let me give you the top 10 nominees for Best Picture this year. Avatar, as you can imagine, is on the list. The Blind Side, with Sandra Bullock, also on the list. District 9, happy to say, is on the list this year. And Education, as expected, also on the list. The Hurt Locker. Fantastic. Inglourious Bastards. Precious. A Serious Man. Up. And Up in the Air. All rounding out your top 10 nominations for Best Motion Picture.
Well, I mean, I guess mission accomplished if you're trying to get movies like District 9 that people love that haven't gotten any nominations throughout the award season. If you're trying to get them the big stage, I guess expanding it to 10 is what does that.
Yeah, I think it takes a little of the specialness away. But at the same time, it is sort of inclusive. So you have some people who ordinarily wouldn't be nominated. It's nice that Neil Blomkamp, the first-time motion picture director, is getting an Oscar nom for his first film. It's kind of cool. When it comes to actors, no surprises here. Jeff Bridges for his performance in Crazy Heart. George Clooney for Up in the Air. Colin Firth for his work in A Single Man. Morgan Freeman for Invictus. And Jeremy Renner for The Hurt Locker are your nominees for Best Actor in a Motion Picture.
All right.
For actress, Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, Helen Mirren for The Last Station, Carey Mulligan in An Education, Gabor for Precious, you know, Big Fat Precious.
Oh.
Fat forehead.
Big Fat Forehead Precious. Meryl Streep for Julie and Julia.
Okay.
Of course, you got to give Meryl a nomination, or else it's just not the Oscars.
That's true. Right. Like, they wouldn't even have it if she didn't do a movie.
Supporting actor, Matt Damon for Invictus, Woody Harrelson for The Messenger, Christopher Plummer for The Last Station, Stanley Tucci for The Lovely Bones, and Christoph Waltz for Inglourious Basterds. If he doesn't win, there's no freaking justice.
He was a German guy?
He was the Nazi.
Oh, he was amazing.
Supporting actress, Penelope Cruz for 9. Speaking of Germans, 9 when it comes to that movie. Vera Farmiga, there's my pick.
Who's that?
Up in the Air. She was Clooney's love interest in Up in the Air.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick, also nominated for Up in the Air. She was his little student that he was taking on the road with him. She was great as well. Maggie Gyllenhaal for Crazy Heart. And Monique and her hairy legs for Precious for supporting actress.
Wear pants, hairy legs. If you go to the
ceremony. Director James Cameron for Avatar. Catherine Bigelow, his ex-wife, for The Hurt Locker. Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds.
Ow.
Lee Daniels for Precious and Jason Reitman for Up in the Air. So there are your nominations for the Academy Awards this year. We'll all find out later.
When?
March? March, I think early March.
Right.
Usually it's the first Sunday in March. I don't know if they've changed that or not. But it's a battle royal over there in Reality Town. You don't want to be in Reality Town, man. It's a bad scene.
Not a place to be?
No. Apparently, Mike Sorrentino. Do you know who Mike Sorrentino is? That name sound familiar to you?
No.
He's better known to you, perhaps, as The Situation.
Ah.
Of course he is.
Sure.
He is saying that he, not Spencer Pratt, is the king of reality television. He's saying he has taken over from Spencer Pratt as the king of reality television.
It's on.
It is on. He was interviewed on the red carpet outside the Grammy Awards this weekend and said regarding season 2 of Jersey Shore, it's definitely going to be a situation. It was a shock that he said that.
Oh, man.
I'm the realest guy out there, so I'm going to make it legendary. Season 2, legendary. Right now, I'm the reality king these days.
God, I hate these people so much.
How can you hate them, Lisa?
Well, Jersey Shore, you said, has higher ratings than The Hills, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a claim to it, certainly.
Regarding his future after season 2, Situation said, well, right now I'm just conquering reality TV. They call me the reality king. I'm taking over MTV. Then after that, some movies and probably my own show. That's his plan. Best of luck to you, The Situation.
That's cute.
He is. I hope he's adorable.
He gets paralyzed.
Oh, God.
Well, that's not one option, I suppose. Julia Roberts is starring in a feature film called Valentine's Day that comes out, not coincidentally, next weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes. And she was doing some press for it, and they asked her to give the everyday woman some tips on how to put a smile on their man's face for Valentine's Day. What can the lady,
Carl?
What can the ladies do for their fellas to give them a special Valentine's Day?
Screaming. Porpoise.
Here's Julia Roberts' advice. She said, make some nice dinner reservations for your man.
Okay.
Order some nice wine. And perhaps most importantly, take off your shirt.
Take off your shirt?
Yes. Well, she's right. That would work for most guys.
All right.
I think she's got a point.
Chili. Dog.
No, I don't think that's even an option. Dog. Where did you get the... What's the announcement? What dictionary was that, the announcement from?
Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Dog.
I don't know how they got that guy. Probably Boston College.
The Merriam Jersey Dictionary, it sounds like.
Dog.
The Situation Dictionary. Taylor Swift has a new boyfriend. Maybe that's why her throat wasn't working so well the other night.
Oh.
Just saying, when she was singing at the Grammy, she didn't sound so hot. Maybe her throat was strange.
She was a little off.
Maybe it was strained.
From the
chili dog.
No, dog. She's dating Corey Monteith from Glee.
Oh.
The big quarterback.
All right.
Dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, apparently they're a couple now, so congrats.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift. Beyond cute.
All right. Thank you, Rodney. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Singer Shakira celebrates her 33rd birthday.
The hottest midget in the world?
At least that's what her hips told me.
They generally tell the truth, Ralph.
Yeah, her hips don't lie. Yay! Robert DeLeo, Stone Temple Pilots, is 44 years old today. Dwayne the Dog Chapman, the bounty hunter, he is 57 years old today. Model Christie Brinkley celebrates her 56th birthday. And singer Graham Nash, probably most famously known from Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Jackson, Burns, and Allen. Is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 11 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Rusty
Trombone.
That's the Rusty Trombone mix of Nine Inch Nails for you there on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, I think I may have to move to Australia. It hadn't really even occurred to me. It's not something I've been planning my whole life or anything like that. But when I saw this story come down this week, I thought, now somebody's on my wavelength. If they're too small, ladies, keep your shirt on. That's what Australia's telling you.
Yeah, they're saying this about if they have nude beaches, if they are in magazines, porn movies, everything.
What?
Here's the thing, and I know it sounds ridiculous that we're making it up, but we wouldn't make this up because it isn't believable. They are saying that if you have A cups, you might encourage pedophiles, because apparently that makes you look like a kid, so pedophiles would be encouraged or turned on or whatever. So if you're going to show your boobs, even in magazines or whatever, they have to be bigger than A cups. That's what they're saying.
Let's be honest. And Psycho Mike, please have my back on this. If you have an A cup, you're not really a woman.
Right. Okay, that's right? Dumb, first of all.
Well, no.
Of all.
Oh, and now you're going to say that the government of Australia is dumb. They're a great country, and they're doing great work down there. Look, here's the thing. Keep your top on if you've got an A cup. That's what Australia is saying. Because you don't want the perverts going to the movie going, oh, she's look how flat she is. She looks like a little kid.
That's what they're saying. That's so stupid.
But perverts are perverts.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to become a pervert because you went to a movie and there was a girl with a flat chest.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that's fascinating, though. Not just out in public or in magazines. In their porn as well. In their movies with sex in them, you can't have an A cup. Isn't that bizarre? Because they don't want to encourage pedophilia.
Are they going to be previewing all the materials?
I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
And measuring by hand, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
That feels funny because today, I don't know. Let me have another look.
Because there is a whole streak of porn. There are people who are into the ITBC, I guess it's called, and you wouldn't be allowed to buy or sell or make those movies in Australia, it sounds like. Women, depictions of women in their late 20s, Lisa, in some cases, are being banned because their boobs are too small, so they're not allowed to show them on screen.
I'm sorry. I know you've been making a career at this, but you're done.
You're too small. You got to get. You either have to have surgery, or we're not going to be able to see your boobs anymore.
Oh, my God. Right.
So you would think this is one of those things that one person would say, and then everyone else in the government would go, that's ridiculous. You're being stupid. Let's not do that.
There's going to be some lawsuits, I'm sure.
I would certainly hope so.
I am standing by them and buying a ticket right now for whatever city I can fly into in Australia.
All right. Well, it's time to call a foreign country and find out some more information on this.
Spanning the globe, Kevin and Bean investigate stories from around the world. They are Kevin and Bean, foreign correspondents.
We need to send Miss Double December 2010 down there to do an investigative series on this.
What's happening to you people? Why are A's not acceptable? All right, let's dial the phone, shall we?
All right. Who are we calling? What city and who?
I think it's the middle of the night, so we're going to call Sydney and we're going to call the Park Hyatt.
Fantastic. We have a less than outstanding track record of the folks on the other end of the phone having any idea what the hell we're talking about when we call about a story in the news.
We're sorry.
Well, I haven't even done. I'm
your
not even
call
done.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number.
Yeah, I wasn't even finished dialing, for God's sakes.
What do you suppose she's sporting up top? That girl.
gotta be a beer above.
Beer above, or they wouldn't let her on the phone, right?
So awesome. The nuttiest thing I've ever heard.
But in a good way.
But no, not in a good way. I know you're being funny and all, but there are a lot of girls with AIDS that are spectacular looking.
Yeah, they should keep their shirts on. What now? What's going on?
Cannot be completed as dialed.
We dialed it.
Please check the number and dial again.
Let's change that to the Hyatt Regency Kulum, wherever that is. Right. Let's call a different hotel. We have to call a hotel because I think it's like 1 a.m. there or something.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning.
The senator's actions are largely responsible for the sharp increase in breast size in adult magazines lately. That's what it says in the article.
That's all they ever wanted. Yeah, they just wanted more big breasts.
It's just a dude with some influence that wanted bigger breasts.
Yeah.
That's it. Doesn't have anything to do with pedophilia or nothing.
Dude like Bean.
There we go.
By the way, the magazine in Australia that we're quoting from is called Crikey. That's the name of the magazine. Hello?
Hello. Good evening, Hyatt Regency Kulum. How may I direct your call?
Hi, we're calling about a news story. We're calling from the United States. We saw that in Australia they are banning A-cup girls from getting naked, even in porns. Have you heard that story?
I'm afraid. Who's calling, please?
This is Kevin and Bean. Have you heard the story about them banning small breasts from being naked?
Good evening, sir. I've terminated this conversation.
Okay.
Wow.
Perhaps some implants would improve her attitude.
How nice was she, though?
I'm just saying she was clearly offended by the question.
Good evening, sir. I'm terminating this conversation.
Let's call another one. Let's call another one. Wow, they teach you how to shut down the foreigners, don't they? How about that?
I don't feel. I don't feel like I brought it to life. But you want it?
I was going to say I thought you did a fantastic job of explaining it in a short period of time, but she just wasn't having any nonsense.
All right, you try it.
Okay.
She clearly had A's and was very upset by the role.
Right. Yeah. Well, people are pointing and laughing at her now that these new rules have gone into effect.
Grand Hyatt Melbourne, B.
Okay.
Make it sing.
Melbourne it is.
Melbourne, may I help you?
Hello there. We're calling from the United States trying to verify a story we've heard on the news here that your country is banning small breasts from appearing naked in magazines and films. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't.
Australia bans small breasts is the headline. A cups or below are told to keep their shirts on.
Hello?
Well, you did a little better than I did.
I won. I got 2 seconds further than you did.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Not just any Tuesday, though. It's Groundhog Day. And we've got a Kevin and Bean listener that we're going to talk to in about 15 minutes who's furious that shows like ours have been disrespecting her favorite day of the year. So she'll try to defend it coming up. Also, we'll catch up on Lost. It returns for its final season tonight on ABC. We're very excited to talk to a great actor, Michael Emerson. He plays Benjamin Linus on the show. That's coming up in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
He doesn't exactly spill the beans much.
No.
No. I think he had a line last year where he said, I lied. That's what I do.
Yeah. So
you really can't take much to heart that he says. That's true.
Which team do you think in the NBA, let's change topics to the NBA, which team would you guess had the worst record of all time at the end of the regular season?
Won the fewest games in the season. I don't have any knowledge on this topic at all, but I always guess Clippers when it comes to the worst of anything.
You would think. You would think that would be true. Nope, it's the Philadelphia 76ers.
Really? Worst team ever, huh?
1972, they won 9 games and lost 73.
Oh, man. Wow. How do you get up in the morning?
That is a good question.
Wow.
And that's what she said.
I heard, I had heard that 9 wins, who was the team a couple years ago? Was it the Bulls that was so bad that they were kind of approaching that record?
Yeah, they were trying desperately to catch it.
They were trying desperately to only win 9, yeah. You don't see that kind of futility come along very often. In fact, you know, the one thing about sports that has made it so successful is, for the most part, there is parity. For the most part, you have a lot of really, really good teams, and they have a draft set up so that the really bad teams get the opportunity to get good players next year so that they don't win only 9 games.
That's why it is super interesting that the New Jersey Nets this year have won 4 games. They're 4-42. So they're on pace about halfway through the season to either tie or beat the worst record of all time. And they played the Clippers recently, the Nets.
And how'd that go?
The Clippers are 20-27, a much, much better record.
Yeah, the Clippers, I mean, they're not even in the bottom 5 of NBA teams. There are a lot of teams with worse records in L.A. right now.
The Nets, which were 3-whatever at the time, went ahead and beat the Clippers. You don't want to lose to a team, honestly, that has 4 wins all season. If you're one of those 4 teams, you've got to be miserable.
Yeah.
You got to be going, what happened? Hey, Dave, do the Nets have any good players?
Yeah, they got a couple of guys. Unfortunately, they were hurt against the Clippers.
So they didn't play?
Nope, their 2 best guys didn't play.
Okay. So,
yeah.
And then they beat you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a little recap of that game.
Clippers and Nets in New Jersey Wednesday night. The 3-40 Nets on pace to finish with the worst record in the NBA's history. And what do you know? The Nets earned their first double-digit lead since December. 98-85 now. And it's Moore Williams. He does it with nobody in the way, and then he does it with people in the way. It does not matter. Nets snap an 11-game losing streak, break a 28-game losing skid to the Western Conference.
Come on! They lost 11 in a row, and then they came up against the Clippers, and the Clippers said, oh, listen.
Look, they had to win sometime. I mean, just happened to be
that
night.
It doesn't seem like they do this year. Really? I mean, I've never seen a team that bad. Everybody roots for a team that has bad seasons. Whether it's football, you know, hockey, whatever sport it is you're into, sometimes your team can just blow in 100 different ways. Last year in football being brought up, it was the Lions, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, went 0-16.
Yeah, and that's not good. That's not what you want. You could be a fan and just be so disappointed all season long. But if you're the Clipper fan, who normally are terrible, At least you can say, hey, we're not the Nets.
Look, I know what the Clippers were doing. They were like, look, guys, we know you're having a bad season. We've been there.
We've had plenty of them.
We've been there. Let's lay down and throw you a bone. It was Jersey Shore night. You know, they wanted to have a good...
Dave, the Clippers are not in a position to be given any games right. away, all
That's
right?
True.
Hey, does Jay-Z still own part of the Nets?
No, they had to sell it to the Russian billionaire. So
he sold it, okay. Because yeah.
took it over?
I know that Jay-Z wouldn't allow this. Jay-Z would get these guys taken out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But 4-42.
Like I said, it was Jersey Shore night. You know, the situation was there. Everyone was there. Snooki. Yeah. So the Clippers said, you know what? We'll give them a night. We'll give it to
them. That's nice of the Clippers.
We'll give it to them.
Would you consider, and the only reason I bring this up is because Dave did the song for the Clippers. We're going to run this town.
Yeah.
That was the song that Dave did at the beginning of the season. So I just want to ask you, after losing to the 3-40 New Jersey Nets... is that running the town? Is that how
Not quite, but, you know, losing to the second worst team the next night didn't help either.
Which you also
they
did.
Yeah,
the
Minnesota
two
Timberwolves.
Worst teams in the league.
The bottom two
what
teams.
What the hell?
Yeah, the Clippers had a good road trip where they're still on it, but, you know, they're just losing in a row. So at least they're getting all the losses out right now.
Right.
So, you know, they're waiting for the All-Star break to regroup. Yeah.
And then they're going
to
win out,
and
right,
then,
Dave?
Bam, here we come.
But aren't all of them going to be in the All-Star game?
Trade deadline, you know. Well, yeah, you know, they're having a lot of rest for the All-Star game since no one's in it.
I just want to go back through your song and put it to a lie detector. I just like to go through your song, a truth test.
Can you feel it in the air?
Yeah.
Change is coming. Are you scared?
Nope.
I'm addicted to this team.
I'm ready.
Red, white, blue is all I need.
What's up?
Can't be scared when we are down.
Uh-huh.
Know that things will turn around.
That's right.
Only thing that's on my mind.
What up?
Will the Clips run this town tonight?
Clippers!
Will the Clips run this town tonight?
Clipper Nation!
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The Clips will run this town.
CLIPPERS. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything. Represent the Clippers all day, every day. Our fans are not stars, not Kardashians. I'll talk more than just about anyone. This is my familia. Blake can be a savior. But for now, let me get back to my rager. Baron brings it down and then lights it up. Dancing Daryl gets the crowd going and all pumped. And yeah, I'm saying bingo. When we get those threes flowing, ready or not, you become a fan before you even know it. Hold up.
Thornton came in and tell fair.
Yep.
Candy and Gordon will lead us there.
That's right.
So keep doing what you do.
You want me to keep going or?
Yeah, that's
word.
Victory is in our grasp.
Yeah.
About time we kick some ass.
Right.
Only thing that's on my mind.
Yeah.
Will the Clips run this town?
Let's go.
Upon us,
and every year I say this is the year, but you know what, this is it, this is the year where we make a run at the NBA championship. Big shout out to Blake Griffin, Baron Davis, Eric Gordon, Marcus Camby, and everyone else on the team. This is Dave, the King of Mexico, representing the Clipper Nation forever. What's up?
Yeah,
look, man, just like Obama in this presidential campaign, all you need is hope, and we got that.
That's not all you need, Dave.
Yeah, hope.
You need to have something to base the hope on.
Clippers, 10. Here we go. All-star break. That's all we need.
That's all you need?
Then we're on a run.
If they just end the season there, you mean?
Maybe.
Hey, let me end with this email from Kevin Bean listener Chris, who wants to know, and I hadn't even thought about this. Let's go to the NBA rulebook and check it. But does a win really count if it's against the Clippers? Did they even give you one on the board?
That's a good point. Because maybe they didn't even add it to that score.
Maybe. Yeah. But
let's talk to a listener. Is it Alicia? Hi, Alicia.
Hello.
You wrote an email to just Ralph, I think. Right?
Well, because I think sometimes I know Ralph can side with the smaller man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm writing to you because I hope this would be something you would take great umbrage with, as I have. This morning, during the interview with Tenacious D, I believe it was Bean who mentioned that since Tenacious D are playing the benefit show tonight, they should dress up as groundhogs in honor of the great Groundhog Day. Then he went on to say Groundhog Day is a stupid holiday. What? How dare he?
Alicia, you are defending Groundhog Day in 2010?
Well, is there not a better time?
Well.
And never?
I mean, I'm just surprised to find you sound like, how old are you, Alicia?
42.
Well, maybe that's why you still have some attachment to Groundhog Day, because my feeling is, at least my hope is, that younger people that are coming up are looking at that and going, well, that's retarded. The groundhog doesn't tell us anything, and it's just a stupid media fuel holiday that needs to evaporate. Yet you write with great passion about the good times you've had in Punxsutawney. What's going on with you?
You went to this?
Yeah, absolutely.
You went to Groundhog's Day.
You know, you can say you've been to Paris or New York, but how many people can say, I went to Punxsutawney and had the time of my life on Groundhog Day?
Well, thousands of people have been. I doubt very seriously that many of them go back, though.
Well,
or tell others.
Have you gone back?
Been back. I have not.
That's how great it was.
Yeah.
Well, I do have to admit it was a bit chilly, and there were people dancing around the bonfire with no shirts and in bikinis, and I thought that's a little nuts.
Okay, so what you're saying is you went to that city and started drinking. I mean, really, that's the only way you could have gotten through it.
That's a good point.
Well, you know, it wasn't until noon that we started drinking, but they start early on. And
you know why? Because they're all just deathly, they want to die. They just hate it there because it's super cold.
That's all
they got
going
this
on.
Stupid Groundhog Day BS.
Who doesn't appreciate an honest hedgehog? Come on.
Okay. That's a hell of a question.
The thing is that the groundhog doesn't predict the weather. I mean, it has a less than 40% accuracy rate. It's just a stunt. That's all it is. It's a guy pulling a rodent out of a box, and everybody stands around and goes, yep, there it is, again this year, and then they go away for 12 months. It contributes nothing.
And then there's zero relation to the weather. Zero.
Right.
But, they say that they actually used to feast on the groundhog. And if you think about it, we still celebrate Thanksgiving. We eat the turkey.
Right.
So, eat the groundhog?
Are we supposed to be eating the groundhog?
Is that what you're saying?
No, I will not. But at least they were kind enough to give it a reprieve and just celebrate its as they say, what is it, prognosticating of the weather.
Which it does very, very poorly. Right. How can you defend this in any way?
You know, it's just still, it's great, it's tradition, it was fun.
It's stupid.
Have you been?
No!
Oh, come on.
Why would I want to go to that, of all things?
Because look, you celebrate Pirate Day, why not Groundhog Day?
Alicia, Like a Pirate Day is fun, though. Everybody can participate, and everybody can make jokes about it and stuff like that. Groundhog Day, there's nothing for anybody. It's no fun for the groundhog. It's no fun for the people who are there. It's no fun for the people who hear about it afterwards. Look, Kevin nailed it. You went to a town, and you got drunk, and you have a fond memory of it. But you never went back because it wasn't that memorable. It was just a fun day that you had. Don't inflict it on the rest of us. Let Groundhog Day die.
Just let it die. Let it die.
No,
let it die.
I did not get drunk.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
I
sure.
Didn't.
All right.
You're drunk now, Alicia. Come on.
What 106.7 Chaos. It's KROQ, and it is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Michael Emerson from the TV show Lost, which returns tonight on ABC, joins us coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll talk to an actual dude who really is offering up a testicle in trade for a Super Bowl ticket. How about that? We'll talk to him next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
So he's looking for
BS.
He's looking for somebody that needs a testicle with a Super Bowl ticket?
I guess.
What's the value of that, really?
I don't know.
Except for Bean, who likes to keep them in jars.
Yeah.
What good are testicles to anyone?
Yeah.
Well, we have many questions for the man, and we'll talk to him coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with all the showbiz Bean.
Speaking of Bean.
Yes.
Did anyone else get the irony of Bean belittling someone for
worshiping a meaningless holiday. Did anyone see the irony in that at all?
I did, but I want to encourage him in that direction. I think that was a good step forward
for him. A guy who celebrates the day a ship sank in a lake someplace 40 years ago?
Is a good
And bubble wrap day.
At least the groundhog does come out of the ground every year. It actually happens every year.
Yeah, but
people
you
are
know,
there to
they
see
pull him out of
happening.
A box. But you're not
they
defending
pull him out of a box.
I'm not defending him, but for Bean, of all people, to attack someone else.
Right, but isn't this...
When he was just... extolling the virtues of bubble wrap day.
Right.
I just find it rich.
But I'm saying baby steps. We have to encourage him in that direction.
All right.
Because he, bubble more wrap, than most people, needs it.
Bubble wrap is fun for the whole family all the time, even now. Groundhog Day contributes nothing to the world.
Those people in Punxsutawney would beg to differ.
It's not insignificant enough, I think, as being thrown.
It's too popular.
Too many people actually have something to do with it. Yeah, Bean likes holidays of one.
Yeah, he really does.
It's Giant Pecan Day. All right, let's talk about the Oscars, shall we? It's a holiday we all can celebrate. March the 7th, I believe it's the first Sunday in March, is the actual festivities themselves. The nominations were released this morning. Big news, of course, this year, 10 movies are nominated for Best Motion Picture. Doesn't that seem like a lot?
Yes. It does.
It's too many, is what it is. And
from
you're absolutely right, Ralph.
It,
it cheapens a Best Picture nomination.
Couldn't they bump it to 7 to see how it feels?
Yeah, I don't know.
Before they ran it up to 10?
One of my big complaints is that they don't put movies in that I care about.
Right.
But if it's one of 10, why don't you make it 20? I mean,
let's just have them all compete for Best Picture every year. Every movie that was released can be voted on.
I heard, Ralph, and you may be more of a historian on this topic than I am, that this is not the first time they've expanded the Best Picture category to 10. They did it a long time ago, too. It lasted for a couple of years, and then they said, well, this sucks, and they put it back down to 5.
I don't recall that failed experiment, but...
All I know is every single year the movie I like the most does not get nominated. Right. I know that for a fact.
And this year is no different. I know you were looking for The Hangover to make the list. It did not. Here are your nominees for Best Picture. Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, An Education, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Precious, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air, the sequel.
All right.
The other thing I'll add is, although it's nice to see District 9 get nominated, it's not going to win. What is really being accomplished by just putting on a list just so you can say you did?
I don't know.
Maybe people will notice
it. The Blind Side is not going to win either.
Yeah.
Why is that on the list?
Where was The Hangover on the list? I'm sorry.
Not on the list, Kevin.
Just look down their noses at comedies?
Yes.
Is that the deal with the Oscars?
Musicals and comedies traditionally have taken it in the shorts over the history of the Oscars.
Those are no easier to make, are they?
No, they're harder to make and to make successfully. Huh. I think it's even harder to do a successful comedy than it is a successful drama. Heartstrings are easy.
They say, dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
Heartstrings are easy to pluck. The funny bone is hard to find, I always say.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
I've never heard you say that.
I say it all the time, actually. Lisa. You're just not around.
Huh. Nicely done.
You're too busy looking at Sig alerts.
That's real talk right there, man.
Best actor nominations. Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart. George Clooney for Up in the Air. Colin Firth for A Single Man. Morgan Freeman for Invictus. And Jeremy Renner for The Hurt Locker. Sandra Bullock, Helen Mirren, Carey Mulligan, Sabori Sibidibidibidi, and Meryl Streep are your actresses. Best Supporting Actor, Matt Damon, Woody Harrelson, Christopher Plummer, Stanley Tucci, and Christoph Waltz. For Inglourious Basterds, Best Supporting Actress, Penelope Cruz, Vera Farmiga, Anna Kendrick, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and Monique.
Oh, I hope she wins.
Oh.
Hope she wins and she shows her legs again. That was sexy.
Both of those things are likely to happen.
We shouldn't let her at the awards ceremony unless she was willing to shave her legs. There should be some sort of law.
Have the police out in front.
You know, we should just
frisk her to make sure her legs
lift your
smooth.
Dress, please. Not too far. Just up to the knee. You'll be fine. Thank you. And Best Director nominated this year, James Cameron, Catherine Bigelow, Quentin Tarantino, Lee Daniels, and Jason Reitman. So there are your nominees in a nutshell. You can find them, all the extended nominations, online. Ashton Kutcher.
Oh.
Not nominated for an Oscar this year. Just want you to know.
Again?
Yeah,
he got overlooked again?
Man, does he bug me.
Attended a big pre-Grammy party that was hosted by Jamie Foxx. And apparently while there, they were discussing the possibilities of Jamie taking over for Simon Cowell in American Idol. And it's not going to happen. Jamie Foxx has said he will not be taking over for Simon Cowell.
Smart.
Despite that rumor.
That seems like an impossible set of shoes to fill.
Yeah,
I don't think I would want to be.
For him.
Yeah.
Also attending Jamie's party apparently were Justin Timberlake, Jessica Biel, Demi Moore, naturally, with Ashton Kutcher, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Gerard Butler. Quite the lineup.
Wow.
Kristen Chenoweth, speaking of American Idol, she was one of the guest hosts, or judges, rather, this year. She, of course, was on Glee. She was in Pushing Daisies, very talented actress and singer. She has said now that she is considering adopting a child from Haiti in the wake of the devastating earthquake. Just take them, apparently. People are just taking them. It doesn't matter if they have kids, parents or not. You can just grab one now over there. It's free for all.
I don't think
a lot, of people are trying right now, that's for sure.
She says, however, she has no plans on jumping into the idea of parenthood willy-nilly. So what she said she's going to do is pray about it and wait for God to make the decision. All righty, then.
Okay.
If God tells you to start doing things, you should check yourself into something. Go to a clinic as quickly as possible. I'm waiting for God to tell me whether I should adopt
or not. Go to Haiti. Adopt.
Where's that burning bush when you need it? I saw Eddie Izzard, the British comedian, this weekend at the Nokia Theater.
Hey.
And he said, he starts off his act by saying, okay, first of all, there's no God. Don't you know that? And he goes, watch me. I can prove it. Come down here right now. Nothing happens. And he says, see? So there you go. Then he said about Noah and the ark. He said Noah did not take two of everything on his boat. Just did not take two of all the animals. Didn't take two of them. Just didn't do it. No, you want proof? Try it. Try to get all two of everything right now and put them in a room. So he's got a point there, I think. Today's celebrity birthday, Shakira. She's 33 years old today. Bassist Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots celebrates his 44th birthday. Dwayne the Dog Chapman, the bounty hunter. He's 57 years old today. Christie Brinkley turns 56. And, oh, that was 56-year-old Bell right there.
Tiny. 56. That
Bell needs some insurer
right
there.
Light little Bell.
Boost up its energy a little bit. And Graham Nash, a legendary rock singer and songwriter. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. All I remember, Kevin, is that I think a plane crashed, right?
And then
what? What happened after that?
There was a pilot didn't go well.
There was a polar bear and a smoke machine.
Right.
And they had to push a button every 108 minutes.
Okay, I'm confused.
That's
but
all
fortunately,
I got.
Fortunately, the final season of Lost begins tonight. Hopefully, many of our questions will be answered. We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show. Tycho Everson plays Benjamin Linus. He won an Emmy for it, is what I'm trying to say. We're very happy, Michael, to welcome you back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Please forgive the introduction.
It's good to be with you.
All right. What has happened so far?
you know, the audience is going to, they're going to be in good hands because we have a great one-hour catch-up show before the premiere, and I am the narrator of it, and I will say that I've watched it, and I swear, if I had never seen the show before, I would be completely up to date.
All right, so that's from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and then the new episode is after the hydrogen bomb goes off. That's the 9 o'clock one.
Yeah, we pick up at that point in a way.
In a way?
Okay. Well, we pick up at that point, and then we pick up at that point in a way that's unexpected. And then we proceed in an unexpected manner.
Okay.
It's a very interesting episode, and I can promise you really tantalizing confusion, but also some amazing answers to burning mysteries.
Okay, good. Because frankly, sir, we've had enough with the confusion. I feel like we have paid our penance, and now we are ready for some dessert. That's what we're looking for here.
I don't think you really mean that. I think the confusion is part of the pleasure of the show.
Well, you're absolutely right.
But what are we doing?
But it hurts so good.
It does hurt so good. Yeah. I think what concerns a lot of Lost fans, and I'm not saying anything here that you haven't heard from everybody you've run into on the street in the last 6 months, is that we're fearful that there are a limited number of episodes left, yet there are so many questions that we really want answered that we're afraid that some are going to be left out. I think that's what the audience is afraid of right now.
But it's a long season. There's a lot of drama to play yet, and every episode that I've shot, some huge chunk of the puzzle has fallen into place.
All right, now your character, Ben, got stabbed at the end of last?
He stabbed someone else.
He stabbed Jacob.
He stabbed the head guy.
Yeah.
It appears that the head guy perished.
Okay.
But you never know.
Especially on Lost.
especially on Lost. That's a great point, Kevin, because it seems like there's no such thing as dying on Lost. I mean, we've seen so many people get killed and come back. I mean, is it impossible to die on the island?
There's a whole list of people who have had more scenes on the show since their character was killed than they had before.
So the 8 o'clock show is 1 hour, and it catches us up from the very beginning? Are we going to see the plane go down, and then you're just going to go, you're going to spoon-feed us? Because I need that.
It starts at the very beginning.
All right.
It's real comprehensive.
I know that you are a guy with a great critical eye toward the work that you do, and we've talked to you about this in the past before, and you find yourself often surprised by the writers. Has it just been delicious to see the scripts that you've gotten this year?
Yeah.
They lived up to your expectations?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then some. You know, sometimes you don't know whether to laugh or cry when you read the script, because there's shocking developments every episode. And, you know, none of us on the show that act on the show have any idea how the thing ends. So for us to read the script, it's like you watching the next episode. You know, we're caught up in it, and the reveals are, you know, hair-raising.
Now, how many episodes have you filmed for this next season?
We've shot 12 or 13.
All right, what happens in those episodes?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot of, you know, because it's kind of a mind-bending season, I have to say, because the writers have upped the ante in the way that they do every year, which is to bring on board a new storytelling device. Or a new point of view that we never had before.
Are we going to have the clicking back in time thing? Everything goes white and you change to 1974, or is it different this year?
Well, we're playing around with the time-space continuum, as we always have done. But this year, in a more sophisticated way, possibly confusing, but I think very satisfying.
I don't have any idea what you're saying right now.
See, this is why I stick with Cougar Town. All right, I don't have any of these problems with Cougar Town. All right, the return of Lost is tonight, as you have heard from our guest Michael Emerson, the great Ben Linus on the TV show. Recap episode at 8, and then new episode at 9. Don't forget, Lost fans, it's on Tuesdays now because they've gone and put good shows on Wednesday on ABC now. So Lost is on Tuesdays. Don't miss it tonight. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again before it's all over. Thanks so much for joining us, Michael.
I hope to see you in L.A. sometime soon.
Yeah, we do too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Grammy-winning Kings of Leon right there. Congratulations to those guys. Representing a little bit of rock on the show the other night. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, during that song, we were all debating what little Michael Emerson told us from Lost. And every time we talk about Lost, we talk about all the questions we have.
Yeah.
We may need, if we have time, Kevin, we may need to throw it open next hour for people who can help catch us up, because so much has happened that will come into sharp focus in this last season of the show that I think we're going to need some help getting set up.
I feel pretty clueless, and that's not a different feeling for me. But when you start talking about keeping track of all this stuff, it does seem like an impossible job.
Yeah.
Right. Like just at the end of that call, you couldn't remember if he got stabbed or if he stabbed someone.
Right,
I mean,
who's
alive and who's on the island and who's not and who's living in 1974. So I think we may need some help from you coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, the Afro line is on the air, 323-520-AFRO. That is our number. We have it going round the clock for you to call and leave a message.
The first one is about dating deal breakers. We had this conversation about things that drive you crazy and you won't even consider dating that other person if such and such is true.
Yeah.
Hairy nipple. What's that in my teeth? Boob floss.
Okay.
Gross. One guy called up with hairy nipples.
No, please. Although that was my air name back in the 80s. Hairy nipples is what I used.
Guys, there's a lot of names being thrown around about who's going to replace Simon Cowell next year on American Idol, but I got the guy right here. Hang on. You want to step up to the mic? All right. Spandau Ballet. Going to take over the judges' booth on American Idol. Okay. Ooh, a little pitchy for me, dog. Anyway, you might be able to do backup for Fine Young Cannibals.
I'd be down with that.
If Rodney would be a judge on American Idol, I would pay a salary.
Now, again, we need some kind of context to help us know what part of the show you hate. That would help.
Oh, my God. Bean. Shut the f*** up. Bean. I don't care. You, Bean. Shut God. You're terrible!
What did I do?
Well, a lot of things. I mean,
but
let's be honest.
That's the thing. A lot of things.
That could have been any one of 10 or 15 things last week.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe even today. Who knows?
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Bean, can't believe you didn't know about Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day. Thought you were cool.
Apparently not.
That's not a mistake anyone has ever made, by the way, thinking that Bean is cool. This dude in traffic, thinking about certain things when he sees a car on fire.
Yeah, so I'm driving on the 5 South. There's a big semi-truck on fire. I mean, there's flames everywhere. All I can think of is, damn, it's Mike Day.
It's a Mike. That's great.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why, but that that's what they said.
Hey, guys, whatever happened to this? Anna? Come on, give it to me one time. Anna?
Anna?
Really?
There you go.
That's it? That's what he wanted? That's not difficult.
Hey, remember that time Lisa May had sex in the elevator with that dude?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Wow, people remember everything.
Not everything, but if you're having sex on an elevator. I mean, really, that's something that you know, we
sticks
would remember.
Sticks in your head, yeah.
Oh.
Here's a here's another a call that we could use some context on.
You suck.
That was a reference to the last call.
Was it?
Oh.
Hey, oh, all right now.
Hey, now.
Now we're getting somewhere. King of Mexico has a lot of problems, and we mock him from time to time, but I think this guy summarizes how we all feel a little better.
Dave, the King of Mexico. Now, I know you guys always go, well, what was that about? We don't need some context in the info line call. Why do you hate? But if anything out of his mouth, you understand? Crispin Bow, salt and pepper shakers, I'm bonkers, Clippers, I don't need windshield wipers. Dave.
It's true.
He's had about an ass full of Dave.
That's what we all have. Ass full of Dave, by the way, is a good band. I saw them at the trip last night.
Oh, they're playing Coachella. They just got added.
Oh, awesome. The next call is from an old friend. His name is Duavid.
Yes, the man who married the mannequin.
He fell in love with a mannequin because he got his heart broken by a woman and decided to turn his back on humans.
Mm-hmm.
Married the mannequin and is having trouble putting her back together, but he wanted to make a request that he didn't feel comfortable bringing up on the air.
This is Duavid and wife Clara. I was hesitating about asking a particular question on the air today. Do you think Kevin and Bean could use their contacts to get a mannequin factory to build a rubber vagina into wife Clara's crotch?
Yes.
If that's possible. Okay? Mike.
He wants us to add a vagina to his mannequin?
To her crotch. Not the famous left arm vagina. Forehead
Wait,
vagina.
Why is it just now occurring to him after he's been married to her for 8 months that she doesn't have a vagina?
Chafing, I'm guessing. Guessing pain.
Doesn't it seem like this would have been a talk about deal breakers? Yeah. Like this would have been a deal breaker before the wedding. Oh, you don't have a vagina.
Yeah, we'll get right on that though. That's important, I think. Mike,
we have to find somebody to do that.
I can make it. I'll personally see to it that he gets a vagina in her crotch.
Don't say we don't pay attention to our listeners. 323-520-AFRO 24 hours.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, didn't you learn anything from Conan O'Brien when he so famously on his last episode of The Tonight Show said, don't be cynical?
Well, yeah, but you can't just suspend all common sense either.
Right, but why do you automatically assume that the guy is lying? Maybe the guy just loves the Saints and is looking for a way to go to the Super Bowl. That's what I'm saying. How many times have you heard a guy say, I'd give my left nut to be able to do that?
Right, but
Guy's putting his money where his mouth is.
Here's the headline in Craigslist. We'll trade left testicle for Super Bowl tickets. He's a Saints fan.
Yes,
what?
And what's
but
your problem
really.
With that?
High
capacity,
I think that's very creative.
O negative, well-traveled, well-maintained, larger than average, only used for 22 years.
I applaud his entrepreneurial spirit.
All sales are final. We'll complete transaction after the game.
Oh, really?
And I'll need a ride to the airport and help on a plane. Now, here's what I'm guessing. By the way, he ends it with pictures, documentation available on request, and no perverts. Why do I
Who
not trust that?
Who else would want it?
This is just a dude trying to be funny.
Yeah.
It's just, really? You think that... here's my question. If you had a Super Bowl ticket, what use do you have for a human ball? I mean, why would anyone go, yes, that's a fine trade?
And who's going to cut it off for him?
I agree that there are some details to be worked out. I'm not saying
says
that
the
this
guy
is
who keeps his donkey balls in a jar.
I'm not saying that this is ready to go. What I'm saying is, what does Saints fan Tracy, who, by the way, we're going to talk to in less than a minute here on the Kevin DeMeade Show, what does he have to lose by posting a free Craigslist ad just to see if there's somebody out there who might be willing to do it for him?
Because there's nobody out there that would be willing to do it for him. That's
well, what's the downside of him putting up a free ad and finding that out? Why not at least offer? And who knows? Maybe there's a one in a million. Maybe there's a one in a billion chance that there's somebody out there who'll make his dream come true. What's he lost by putting an ad up?
He's just trying to be funny. There's no way that he honestly is going to give up a ball. And there's also a 0% chance that anyone's going to do it. Here's the newscast, newscaster talking about this particular story.
We heard of some pretty unusual offers for Super Bowl tickets, but this, well, it's definitely, how would you say, nutty. Oh. I know. New Orleans man is advertising on Craigslist. He's willing to give up his left testicle for tickets. He says it's well-maintained, larger than average, and only has been used for 22 years. Oh, this is for real here. All sales, by the way, are final.
Yeah.
See, you say that because you're a fair-weather Cardinals fan. This guy may have been following every minute of every Saints season since he was a little kid. It may mean more to him than anything in the world to see them play in the Super
Bowl. If that were true.
And he's got nothing else, no other way to get in.
Right. If that were true, this season, as they were undefeated and they were in first place the entire season, he would be saving money because he really wants to go to the Super Bowl, if that were true. You wait until the week before. You're that hardcore of a fan. You wait until the week before, and then you say you can have my ball? Really? That's his plan? No.
It's cheaper than coming up with $3,000 or something, whatever it might cost to get a ticket. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what I'm willing to do.
Are you going to pay him for his ball? That's my question, because it sounds like you're on his side.
I'm not on his side. I'm just saying it might work. I'm just saying, what's the downside for him to try it? Look, I don't know why somebody else would want his testicle, and the chances that he could find that person and that person would also have a Super Bowl ticket seems pretty unlikely.
It's 100% unlikely.
I'm not saying that it's a slam dunk, that it's guaranteed to work. I'm saying I believe that he would trade his testicle for a Super Bowl ticket.
All right, what about the part where he says, we'll complete transaction after the game?
Yeah.
Doesn't that, to you, say...
No.
Yeah, I'll make that happen as soon as the game's over, and then he's just going to run.
Possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I am saying that I wouldn't want to have this surgery and then get on a plane or drive or travel to a Super Bowl and expect to be comfortable after just having a testicle removed. I can understand why he doesn't want to have it done this week. What?
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy.
You're crazy because you can entertain this thought as if it's serious.
Why not?
Because... the odds are astronomical against it, and it's just a dude trying to get the kind of publicity that he's getting.
Well, he's not getting very much publicity on our show because he's not on the phone.
Well, he's certainly – we're trying to reach him now. Yeah, what a surprise.
Lisa May, what do you think? Do you think there's any chance this guy's for reals?
No. I absolutely don't. No.
And knowing that you're on Kevin's side doesn't sway you to get you to rethink your opinion.
It bothers me tremendously.
Wait a minute though. Does it help to be on Bean's team? On Bean's side?
I don't want to be on either of your sides.
Right, I know. All right, we got him on the phone.
Okay.
Okay. So all of our questions will be answered because I'm telling you, I'm standing up for Tracy. I think he's on to a good thing here. Hey Tracy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How y'all doing this morning?
We're good.
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. All right, we have many, many questions for you. First of all, how come you're such a big Saints fan? Tell me the history of you and the New Orleans club.
Well, I was born and raised in New Orleans. Been a Saints fan all my life. Since we lost the Jazz to Utah, we've not had any other team. And, I mean, anybody from New Orleans, you're just, you know, you're going to be a diehard Saints fan.
Right.
Now, do you go to many games?
I go to as many as I can. I, believe it or not, have a job, so I travel a lot, and I don't get to make it home much for the games.
Okay. Have you thought about saving money for the Super Bowl, as it looked all season long like the Saints were going to make it?
You know, as much as this is going to offend a lot of the hometown boys, it's looked like they were going to make it many times.
Oh,
and
I see. You got your heart.
Something always happens.
Like Jets and fans, like Raiders fans, they find a way to lose and break your heart, and they're used to it. Right?
And, you know, they did everything they could to try and not go. I mean, overtime with the Vikings. I mean,
that happened.
Sort of bunk it, you know?
Right, sure.
So you were not confident that they were going to make the Super Bowl, and that's why you didn't go to extraordinary lengths to save the money so that you could just buy a ticket, even on the secondary market, to get a ticket to the game, right?
Correct. I was not prepared for this, no.
Do you have a credit card?
Yes, I do.
That's a great question. Okay, could you use that?
Problem solved.
I think what my friends are suggesting is maybe there are easier ways than surgery to get a ticket to the game at this point. I mean, there are tickets available that you can buy still.
Sure, yes, all right. But I am frugal.
Okay, are you...
except with nuts.
Now, are you seriously trying to trade the nut? Because it says we'll complete transaction after the game, and you need help with the plane. I mean, to me, it just sounds like you're trying to be funny. Like you're trying to get in the news like you have. You're not serious about expecting somebody that wants a nut to have a Super Bowl and to contact you and to send you.
Well, just in my defense, I must say, there was no original effort to get into the news at all whatsoever, period.
Okay, so this was a real attempt to get a Super Bowl ticket?
This was a real attempt to get a Super Bowl ticket. That is correct.
Right. Why do you think anybody would want your ball?
there people come in all types. You never know what somebody's going to be interested in.
But you put no perverts. I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that wants your ball is going to be a pervert.
Yeah, try not to narrow it down like that.
I mean, really, you don't have option of being so picky.
No, the funny thing about it is the perverts didn't read that far.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. Have you gotten any kind of interest from anybody who suggests that they might be interested in making this trade?
I have received a lot of inquiries asking for pictures, yes.
Right. Okay. Again, but those are the perverts, though.
But do you have any information whatsoever on somebody actually having tickets that wants to make the trade?
There's been no firm offers, no.
All right. Let's go to Celeste and take her phone call and just see if we can. Hi, Celeste.
Hey.
Hi there. What are you calling to say?
I am calling because if I had the money, I would totally give him the money for a Super Bowl ticket.
Oh, so you
I
don't
would,
have...
I would expect his nut. He would have to work out all the details, call, I don't know, some plastic surgeon somewhere.
All right, Tracy.
I don't know.
Tracy, are you serious? If Celeste were to buy you a Super Bowl ticket, are you serious about getting the nut ticket?
No, I have no money.
No. I'm saying if she's serious, are you really going to do it, Tracy?
Well, you know, it sounds like Celeste is a pretty decent person, and I think if she were to acquire it, it would be in good hands.
Okay.
Celeste, what would you do with it?
I have no idea. I just think it'd be so funny. Like, it'd be like one of those weird things, like those babies in the jar that weird doctors.
Like some
medical oddities. This is a dude's ball.
Would you put it on a necklace and wear it around your neck, Celeste, or what?
No, are you kidding me? That's way too close to my chin.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
You're the best,
all right.
Celeste.
Thank you very much. I've got two for you, Celeste. We'll talk off here. Hey, Tracy, have you looked into whether you could get a doctor to remove a healthy testicle, or would that be something that most doctors would have a problem with?
It's an uninvasive arthroscopic surgery. It's performed all the time.
But you're serious about it. If somebody came through with a Super Bowl ticket, you would honestly give them your ball.
Why not?
Because it's a bad thing to do.
Are you married?
But you only need one, Kevin. I mean, you would never miss your testicle. Am I right about that, Tracy? You wouldn't miss one if you lost one.
Well, and you can get a prosthetic testicle.
Wait a minute. What was your answer to Lisa's question if you're married?
Oh, I'm divorced.
Divorced, yeah. Yeah, not a surprise.
I mean, the cost of the surgery.
Well, that would be the recipient's responsibility.
Okay, so they have to give you a Super Bowl ticket, and they have to pay
surgery,
for the plastic surgery.
And your nuticle?
And your nuticle. And the plane trip.
Well, that part would be negotiable.
This deal's getting better.
Because you can drive from New Orleans to Florida.
Well, actually, I already have a plane ticket.
You
so
do?
That's not an issue. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
There's no way he's serious. Just no way he's serious.
You actually bought a plane ticket.
Yes, I do. I have a plane ticket, a rental car, and accommodation.
Do you have a doctor standing by?
That I do not have.
Mm.
All right. We're almost out of time here, but here's what I'm going to say, having talked to Tracy. I still believe it is a legitimate offer, but I do not think there's any chance that he will get anybody to take him up on it. I think it's a nice try, though. I think there's no harm, no foul, as far as I'm concerned. Tracy, you've got my support.
Thank you very much.
Wow, I'm sure that makes him very, very happy. What's that?
I have an email address if anybody's interested.
Okay.
Right. Give it out.
It's ball4dabowl@yahoo.com. And right. I am accepting offers.
Okay. Well, good luck with that.
You'll get one from a guy named Bean very soon.
Tracy, thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you. Good luck, all right?
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show. Michael Emerson plays Benjamin Linus.
That was a moment with Bean.
Yeah, that happened.
That just happened. Wow.
It's so fun to watch that from somebody else's perspective.
Wow. I'm so proud.
That happened.
Oh, my God.
Well, that makes so much more sense then, because I was wondering when you guys got into the meat of the interview, Bean became a total fruit log.
When we were talking to Ben?
We were talking to Michael Emerson from Lost. We were talking about Ben. Bean was talking about the writers on the show.
Right.
And this came out of his mouth.
You find yourself often surprised by the writers. Has it just been delicious to see the scripts that you've gotten this year?
Yeah.
They lived up to your expectations?
Oh, man.
Is it delicious?
Has it just been delicious? Could you just eat it up?
Oh.
I mean, the script, is it just yummy? Beyond words.
You find yourself often surprised by the writers. Has it just been delicious to see the scripts that you've gotten this year?
Yeah.
They lived up to your expectations?
He's no better coming back. Oh, yeah.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to go, wow, that was gay?
Maude and Evelyn in the laundromat. Were they just delicious scripts? Are they just delicious? Oh, yes. They're just dull. They're so yummy.
I'm perhaps a little gay for Lost. I don't know what's going on there.
Wow.
But that was not my finest 1-2 punch, I'll tell you that.
Strong. That was strong.
All right, Oscar nominations released this morning. In case you have missed it, here's a quick recap of what was nominated. 10 motion pictures nominated for Best Film this year. So maybe your favorite's among them. Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, An Education, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Precious, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air.
And Hangover.
No, sir. Hangover not on that list.
Not in the top 10 movies of last year.
No,
F you.
Not in the top 10, according to the Oscar nominations. The Academy rejects you, sir.
Come on.
Highest grossing comedy of all time, right?
Yes.
Come on. How's that not one of the movies if they expanded it to 10?
Did it have a fat black girl in it?
No.
Then no, sir.
It had a little Chinese dude that jumps out of the car naked onto the guy's shoulders. It had that.
You're trying to F on me?
It had Mike Tyson. It had a tiger. Come on.
Best actor, Jeff Bridges, George Clooney, Colin Firth, Morgan Freeman, and Jeremy Renner. Round out your list. Best actress, Sandra Bullock, Helen Mirren, newcomer Kerry Mulligan, Gabori Sidibibi. Oh, you know, Precious.
Sure.
Meryl Streep. Best supporting actor, Matt Damon, Woody Harrelson, Christopher Plummer, Stanley Tucci, and Christoph Waltz. Best supporting actress, Penelope Cruz, Vera Farmiga, Anna Kendrick, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Monique. Best director, James Cameron, Catherine Bigelow, Quentin Tarantino, Lee Daniels, and Jason Reitman. Glad Jason Reitman got nominated.
Yeah, me too.
Up in the Air, I think maybe my favorite movie of the year. Really
loved
enjoyed
it.
No Hangover.
Lindsay Lohan in the news. Don't believe everything you read in the tabloids. The London Sun says that they've got an uncensored trailer for the new movie Machete.
Yes.
Where Lindsay's topless in it.
Yes.
Don't be suckered in.
Really?
It's the same trailer that was shown during Grindhouse for Machete. And it features two topless broads in it, but neither one of those is Lindsay Lohan. So everyone's all a Twitter, no pun intended, on the internet saying that there's this trailer with Lindsay's boobs showing, and it's not her. She's in the movie they're making based on that popular trailer.
She is, okay.
She's in it, but that isn't her.
Does she have a topless scene in the movie?
No word yet.
Okay.
But the rumor is false, so don't get too excited. Russell Brand is getting cold feet about marrying Katy Perry.
What? Yeah, you don't want to lock that down when you got it.
No.
Not her.
Don't want to put a ring on that, even if you like it. He says he's starting to have weird dreams about the wedding.
Okay.
His nerves are so serious. He's dreaming about the minister melting during the ceremony.
Because he knows it's against all of nature that what he's doing.
Maybe.
He knows that.
Also having a nightmare about everyone at the wedding being able to say nothing but the word potato.
Okay. What?
I don't know. He also said he's willing to sell a nut for a Super Bowl ticket. So, I don't know what that means.
No!
And We Are the World was recorded yesterday here in Los Angeles. New version of that popular song, 75 artists gathered at a recording studio in La Brea to re-record the 1985 smash hit, the charity single that raised so much money for African famine relief. This, of course, for Haiti earthquake relief. The lineup for this edition of the song included Pink, Celine Dion, Natalie Cole, the Jonas Brothers, Kanye West, Tony Bennett, Barbara Streisand, and many others. Sounds pretty weak-ass to me.
Does.
That's not, if that's what they're leading with in the story in terms of dropping names, it does not compare to the 85 lineup, which had Springsteen and
all
Michael Jackson.
A-level.
And Elvis Costello and Sting and yeah. Bono. And, yeah.
We had a caller early today, Ralph, who thought that it was Weak Sauce that they were remaking We Are the World rather than write something new for the Haiti earthquake disaster. What do you think? You think it was a good decision?
I think it was a great decision because they have tried it. They've written three or four other charity singles that all blew, that no one paid any attention to.
Yeah.
This thing, you're guaranteed to get some attention, first of all, and then I think also to get some purchase power because people would buy a new version of this song. But some of the other ones have just fallen flat.
I heard they're unveiling the video of the recording during the Winter Olympics. That's when we'll see it. When the song will be available for purchase, too.
I get to see the Jonas Brothers and Celine Dion. Oh,
yes.
That's very exciting.
Same video? Excellent.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Graham Nash is 68 years old today. Model Christy Brinkley celebrates her 56th birthday. Dwayne the Dog Chapman is 57. Is my special guest on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. I didn't know that. Wish someone had told me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you knew.
That's okay.
All right.
Didn't mean to keep him holding. Special guest?
Yeah.
Hey,
get it on.
Adam Carolla.
Can I tell you guys what a narcissist I am?
Please.
My birthday is May 27th.
Yeah.
But I listen to the Showbiz Report every morning, and I always pray he mentions my birthday, even though it's 4 months away.
Every day when it's not your birthday.
Every day I say, please say my name, Ralph.
You think I might just slip up and just put you in the mix?
I don't know. That's what narcissism is.
Why don't we just add him to the birthday list every day?
I'll just say it every day. I'll just say happy birthday to Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Adam, I want to mention that we're going to be hanging out again this Wednesday in Brea, California.
That's right, doing the live podcast.
These things have been going over pretty well, haven't they?
Yeah, we've been selling out the shows, and the crowds have been great, and Ralph is, I would dare say, better than almost any stand-up comedian I've brought up on stage.
Oh, wow. Stop it. It's only because I'm drunk.
Is he drinking? I was going to say, if he's drinking, I'm in.
No, I don't mean on stage. I mean in the bathroom after the show.
That's when I'm better.
You didn't think I meant on stage, did you?
We did. That's what we thought originally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Ace, we asked Ralph earlier in the week, we said, why is it you keep showing up to all of Adam's stage performances? Is he paying you? And he's like, no, it's just so refreshing to be able to work with people that are funny that I respect for a change.
I said, I like him, and he's funny. It's just, it's a change of pace for me.
Well, it is nice to have an audience react to your jokes instead of... you guys, or Dr. Drew, or whatever the hell we've been staring down the barrel of for the last 10 years.
Yeah. They also, it's just a great room because it's just packed full of people who listen to our show and to Adam's podcast, and there just couldn't be a better crowd. So come on out. It's tomorrow night at the Brea Improv at 8 o'clock, and then next week we're also doing it at the Ontario, California Improv, I think for two shows, right, Ace?
That's right.
Yeah. Improv.com are all the details. You can buy your tickets there, too.
Or AdamCarolla.com.
There you go. Even better. Yeah. Who's going to do the show tomorrow besides us?
I think Dana Gould's coming out there, too.
He's funny.
Always golden.
You didn't finish birthdays yet, if you want
to. And, of course, happy birthday to Adam Carolla, who celebrates his birthday today.
I'll be 111 by the time we get to next Thursday.
Thanks, Ace.
Thanks, guys. See you Friday.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to ask for your help to bring us up to speed with Lost. Where are we in the story? What can we expect when the show continues again tonight? And what questions are likely to be answered this season? We're going to be talking about all things Lost coming up in about 15 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, I can barely remember. Did Kate die in the bomb or Jack or what?
I think
someone died.
What's her name? The blonde chick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that worked for Dahmer originally? Yeah.
Yeah, she died. Died. I think she died in the blast, but who knows? No one ever stays dead on that goddamn show.
Yeah, that's true.
While we're talking about people who never die, Osama bin Laden has got to be 100 by now, right? Wasn't he an old man at the time of 9/11?
Sure
and,
seemed
and
like it, yeah.
Going through dialysis, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the deal, supposedly?
We thought either he was going to die of health problems or we were going to find him and kill him. Neither has happened. The guy continues to live. He's got to be 100 by now, and he keeps making tapes. He's got more tapes out than Tupac. What's going on with him? Two in, like, the last 2 weeks.
And this last one is really bizarre. It's the second one of the month. Bin Laden criticized George W. Bush.
Hard to believe.
Right, but yeah. Okay. The past, okay, the former U.S. president, for not signing the Kyoto Protocol and regulating carbon emissions. So basically he's saying the United States is responsible for global warming. Doesn't that seem a step down from where the infidels? I mean, isn't that on the list of important things that we've done wrong? Isn't that down a bit?
Seems like.
It does seem like if you're living in a cave and you're trying to run Al-Qaeda, maybe you're not so interested in greenhouse gases. Seems like maybe you got other things on your mind in your war on, war on democracy.
He also says that he's an opponent of government bailouts of Western banks. He thinks that shouldn't happen. What's happening? At what point did he start?
He's an economist as well.
Yeah, he's just now commenting on the news of the day.
And what about that crazy Simon leaving American Idol? I mean, what's going on with Osama bin Laden? Does he have more important things on his mind?
Maybe he finally got a hold of a newspaper.
I'm not sure how this happened, but Alex, our producer, has managed to reach Osama bin Laden.
She is good.
Are you kidding?
She's good. She can figure it out. Osama?
Hey, Captain Bean, how you doing, my baby?
Well, how did producer Alex get you on the phone? I thought you were hiding in a cave in Pakistan right now.
I am. That's where I am currently hiding with some friends in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. But Alex called me up. She said, listen, do you have some time to talk? And I said, of course, for my favorite morning show.
No, don't say
of
that.
Of course, I'd be happy to talk to Mark and Brian. Absolutely.
All right. So what about this? You're really coming out talking about carbon emissions and greenhouse gases? What the hell do you care about that?
Yes, your filthy country is contributing to global warming.
Right, but when did
which
you...
Which is a reality, by the way.
When did you start caring about the environment?
I care deeply about the environment, my baby. I am so concerned about the well-being of all the world planet. So that but when I take it over, you know, everyone can breathe easily.
I see. I guess our impression of Osama bin Laden is you're out there thinking up new ways to kill Americans and bring down democracy.
Yeah, sure. But I want to do it quickly. Your way is slow with the carbon emissions. It's taking too long.
Oh, I see.
I'd like to have some planet left after I kill you all. I'd like to be able to enjoy a good planet. So I would like you to stop poisoning the atmosphere with your carbon emissions and your industrialized pollution.
Just to pave the way for it when you take over.
For example, how long did you let those Twin Towers burn, for God's sakes?
Wow.
Do you have any idea how much smoke that was pumping up into the atmosphere?
Okay, that was you, though. You're the one.
Pick up a fire extinguisher or something, for God's sake.
Wow.
Wow, you guys just, you have no concern for the atmosphere.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. What other stuff are you complaining about? Because, again, isn't the fact that America is the great infidel, isn't that enough to keep you fueled up? I mean, what else are you bitching about now?
What about the bailout for your banking industry? What was that all about?
Well, at what point do you care about that?
Have you seen the interest rates on credit cards now? Yeah. How can they do that to it? How can they do that after you've given them all that money?
But you don't want
to. I can barely keep up with my Visa payments, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
You make a good point.
All right. Thank you, Lisa May. I appreciate that.
Wow, he knows you by name.
I know.
Also,
scary.
I find the quality of your regular television has slipped lately.
Is that right?
Cable is still very high.
Uh-huh.
I'm enjoying Mad Men over on AMC. I like the stuff they're doing on HBO and Showtime.
Right.
But your broadcast network, the quality of the programming has slipped significantly. You need to pick that up a little bit.
So there's not enough good stuff on the networks. That's what you're saying
now. Exactly, yes. Okay. All I have here in the cave is rabbit ears. I don't get the DirecTV here in the cave.
Oh, that's a shame.
So I just, your broadcast channels, just pick it up a notch, would you please?
But
also, your this season's home furnishings, I don't like the color schemes you're using. I think, first of all, you're in autumn, okay?
Right.
And I think the seasonal colors that you're choosing really need to reflect that. I find some of the retro feel is much too garish, and it's not warm enough for my taste.
Okay,
This is not Osama bin Laden that we're talking to. This can't be the same guy that we know.
And also, what's up with fast food these days, my friend? These dollar menus. I mean, sure, you're paying less, but are you really getting value for your dollar?
Wow. You're a lot more involved than I thought.
I have a lot of time on my hands.
You really do.
Sounds
yeah.
like it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show.
Michael
Emerson plays Benjamin Linus.
That was yep. a moment with Bean.
We talked to the guy who plays Ben. Well, I'm lost, and that wow. happened this morning.
Wow. Sure I did. Sure did.
Yeah.
All right. It's Kevin Bean Show. Speaking of talking to the great Michael Emerson. He brought us up to speed with one thing we were confused about. Kevin, we couldn't remember if he got stabbed or if somebody stabbed him.
I thought Ben
told
got
us,
stabbed.
No.
But he
John
told us
Locke.
That he...
John Locke told him he had to kill Jacob, that Jacob was evil.
Right.
And so he believes him and then stabs Jacob, and then Jacob is bleeding out on the floor and tells him that he's made the huge mistake.
Right. Okay. All right, so...
And then we find out John Locke isn't John Locke at all. Because the followers who had brought the box with them to the beach, to the site where Jacob was, they open up that case. Remember, they open up that steel box.
Oh, and it was John Locke.
It's John's corpse. It's his dead body lying right. inside the box.
Well, who is it who's playing John Locke then?
Do I write the show?
Well you seem to have answers.
But that was the last thing we saw. That was the last thing we saw in the episode. There's no more information till tonight.
Too much.
Okay.
Too much information.
Here's the thing. Lost is coming back for season 6. It's final season tonight on ABC. We did talk to Michael Emerson last hour. He helped us out a little bit. But frankly, I am in no way prepared to sit down and follow the story of what's going on tonight.
Listen,
it's too far gone.
John Locke returns to the mainland to get the original Oceanic 6 to come back to the island.
Okay.
They need to come back. That's a must.
And why?
Okay. Because bad things are happening on the island with them gone.
Right.
It's their destiny to come back to put things right.
And I remember that from last season because he goes around to each of the people and tries to talk them into it. And Ben was helping him do that, right?
Right. And then Ben helped him to dying in his hotel room. Remember? He hangs him.
Right.
John Locke is dead.
Wait, he hung John Locke?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah, he pushed him off a chair and hanged him.
Right. And then it's John Locke's body in the coffin that brings them back together again.
So we don't have any idea who is in John Locke's body when he was telling Ben to kill him, to stab Jacob?
We don't know who that person was, we assume it's some sort of imposter, who was pretending to be John Locke in order to get Ben Linus to do the unspeakable, which is to kill Jacob, which may be actually the leader of good on the island, the man responsible for all the good things on the island. John Locke could be the smoke monster in disguise for all we know. We don't know who John Locke is this time around.
All right, so I think what we're going to be looking for, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What we're going to be looking for is what are the storylines that are in play. Is that right? Is that what we want?
Yeah, because we want to know what we need to know before the show tonight, because I really am completely lost. I don't remember half of what you just said. Happening. I really don't.
You know that the rest of the gang is trapped with the Dharma Initiative back in the 70s, right? You know, Hurley and
they went back
Sawyer
in time.
And all those guys.
Jack and everybody, right, okay. How about what did the bomb mean at the end of last season? That was on the last episode or the one before.
There was like a helium bomb or something, some kind of a...
A helium bomb.
I don't know
what
it was.
Yes, it was a
hydrogen
helium bomb,
I think it was.
It was a helium bomb.
Everybody talked like this when it went off. Their voices got real high.
It just floats up.
They had to destroy the hole in the ground where the...
Magnetic
field
okay,
was.
Okay, all right.
So they set off that bomb in order to dissipate that, to change the magnetic field of the island.
And then that should fix everything?
That should stop them from
going to other time frames.
Right,
or
yes, exactly. Yeah, it should stop them from skipping through time anymore on the island.
All right, let's bring in some phone callers. We have Mark on the line. Hi, Mark.
And it means that the plane will never crash on the island then either, by the way.
Oh, because they went back in time and did it.
Because they did it in the 70s.
Right.
And
right.
Juliet dies in the blast.
Juliet, that's her name. All right, Mark, yes.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, help.
Hey, it's, you know, it was the last episode when they were showing some, you know, recaps of what's happening.
here's Jacob on the beach, and a guy walks up to him and sits down with him on a beach, and I guess his name is Mr. Black.
That's right.
I've never seen him before. And Jacob said something to the fact that you're never going to kill me until you find the loophole. And the guy says, well, you know, I hate you anyway, and he leaves. Well, when they're in that cave at the end of the last season, when Benjamin stabbed Jacob, you know, right before it, I guess he said something to Locke and said, well, looks like you found your loophole. And that's when they showed Locke was out.
Right. So Locke was dead, and that was Mr. Black.
Yeah.
Whoever that is.
Who was impersonating John Locke.
Yes, exactly.
Ralph, what's he talking about when he talks about the loophole, the thing that makes time repeat?
Well, you don't know, but they're discussing that on...
They
do a flashback, which is some hundreds of years in the past, with Jacob and Mr. Black on the beach watching the pirate ship, the Black Pearl, I guess, and not the Black Pearl, the Black whatever that pirate ship they find years later on the island with the dynamite in it. Remember?
Right. Yes,
they're watching that boat sail towards the island in the distance when they first have that conversation. So this battle between good and evil has been going on the island for hundreds of years.
Okay. All right. Mark, glad you called. Thank you. You're way smarter than I am. I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want your calls to kind of fill in the gaps a little bit as to where we are on Lost and what we should be looking for with the season premiere of Lost tonight at 9 on ABC. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, preparing for the season premiere of the final season of the TV show Lost on ABC tonight. I lost track of what was going on the show right after the plane crashed. I'm good right up until then. Then the plane crashed. And I was like, wait, what?
We talked to the actor that plays Ben earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Michael Emerson. And Bean asked him this question.
You find yourself often surprised by the writers. Has it just been delicious to see the scripts that you've gotten this year?
Yeah.
Have they lived up to your expectations?
Delicious scripts. Have they been delicious? Do you eat them?
What happens to Ralph Garman back in here because he's our resident Lost expert, and then we're going to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What happens to all the kids, and what's with the weird thing with the pregnancy, with you can't be pregnant on the island? I still am miffed by both of those things and wonder if either of those will be addressed in the final season.
What happens with the kids, he's asking, and why can't you be pregnant on the island?
Well, Claire was.
Yeah.
And she had...
Little Aaron, who there's something special about, apparently.
Well, he was taken from her when she walked off into the jungle.
Right.
So, but where are all the kids going? Why do they kidnap all the children and take them away to do something? What's that all about? Do we know?
And who's the little kid that was talking backwards a long time ago? Remember that guy?
Walt. That was Walt.
Walt's all grown up now. We've seen him modern day.
We have.
Yeah, remember Locke paid a visit to him. When he was trying to find Michael.
Let's talk to Chris. Maybe Chris can help. Hey, Chris. What are we missing? What do we need for the setup? Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What do we need for the setup?
Good. I think one thing, you want to talk about the pregnancy thing?
Whatever.
What that is, if you look at the big statue, remember the statue from the end of last season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was actually a statue of Tauret, who is an ancient god of like pregnancy and fertility.
Okay.
So then now you know the statue is smashed and it's just a foot.
Yeah.
I think maybe that statue is providing them with a chance to be, you know, to be pregnant. I think they're stealing the kids so that they can add them to the others and continue on, you know, continue on having that civilization.
Why don't the others just have kids together? Why do they have to steal other kids?
Because they can't have
they
kids.
They can't. Remember, Juliet was brought to the island. She was a pediatrician and a specialist when it came to embryology because they were trying to keep the women pregnant, but they kept losing the pregnancy.
I see.
Huh. And you also, Chris, had a theory about Jacob, about his significance. He's the guy, he's the puppet master, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. I think that Jacob and the Man in Black are both kind of, or Mr. Black, are both kind of like godlike figures. So if you look at the end of last season, the last episode, all the flashbacks that featured Jacob, he actually physically touched all of our main characters. He touched Jack, Hurley, Saeed, Kate, and Sawyer.
Physically so, touched them? What does that mean?
Yeah, he actually, you know, touched them with his hand in a non-sexual manner.
Right.
So I think that since Jacob is like a godlike figure, in some way that sort of helped guide their futures so that they can fill out their destinies on the island.
Okay.
What does that mean exactly?
But then
I'm not
Ben
really sure,
killed.
But I think it'll come to a head.
But then Ben killed Jacob. Did he kill him? He just stabbed him.
No, he stabbed him. He's bleeding out. I mean, he's not well. But we don't. Yeah. We haven't seen him die yet.
Didn't right. Didn't Jacob say something like they're coming or they're on the way or people are?
Yeah, he said they're coming.
They're coming.
I'm not sure what that means, but Jacob did die at the end. But if you remember from the past couple seasons, Hurley can now talk to dead people. And he's going to be on the island, and I think that that's why Jacob wanted Hurley to come back to the island was so that he could still communicate to everybody through Hurley.
But, you know, we still have to get Hurley and the rest of the gang from 1974. They got to bring him back to the modern time where
yeah.
Locke is.
That's
and Jacob
just a tick
is.
Of white light, man.
Yeah, maybe the white light will bring everybody back.
There.
But they've right. already collapsed the hatch where the magnetic field is.
But do you know the bomb worked?
Well,
yeah,
we don't
know.
Everything imploded into the hatch and it seemed to have sealed it up, so...
That was the plan. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. By the way, Laura, please call back. We do want to get to your call. Laura says that Michael Emerson gave us a big clue in the interview that we missed last hour, so I'm dying to know what it is we didn't
hear.
Was it
that the writing was delicious? Was that the clue?
That's probably why we missed it, is because we were marveling at the word delicious.
Let's try Cody on line four. He's going to talk about an old friend of ours named the Smoke Monster. Hey, Cody, welcome to the Kevin Abid Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lee Smith.
Hello.
The Smoke Monster's back?
Well, we learned a little bit more about it in the last season. One, we learned that it's a lot older than Dharma. It comes from that
the temple
hidden away in the jungle.
Yeah. Right.
And also, it either brings back people from the dead or it heals them, but it also turns them into others. It like brainwashes them.
What?
Yeah, because when they took Ben, when young Ben was shot, Richard Alpert, he warned them, all right, guys, if I save him, you do realize he's not going to be the same.
I don't remember any of the words that you're saying right now.
I do remember that they said it wouldn't be the same, but I thought it was because he was going to join the community of the others. He wasn't going to be able to go back to his father with the Dharma group.
That's a possibility.
Although the Smoke Monster did teach the true believers the way, because those were the ones who went back to pick up Locke's corpse and carry him on. They had all had encounters with the Smoke Monster at the temple.
But didn't the Smoke Monster kill you and make you look back through your history or something? What was that?
Kill you. It made Ben look back to talk to his daughter again. He had a conversation with his daughter, and she told him that he had to follow John Locke. Remember, she insisted to do that for me, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that was really his daughter at all. I think it was Smoke Monster trying to influence Ben by using the image of his daughter against him and was actually working on the side of Mr. Black.
People who don't watch the show must think we are insane.
Hey, I watched the show and I think we're insane. The Smoke Monster, wasn't the Smoke Monster shouted down or scared away by Mr. Echo at one point? Like Mr. Echo went up against the Smoke Monster and won, right?
Yeah, because he was without sin and fear. He could not be frightened. He could not be coerced by the Smoke Monster.
Would you say he shouted him down?
I wouldn't say he shouted him down. No, I wouldn't say that.
Never. All right. Let's try Mark. Mark's got a theme that he thinks he is seeing play out here on the final season of Lost that starts tonight. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Kevin Abid Show. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Not to confuse everybody even more.
Not possible.
But there's the whole question of who is Adam and Eve from season one that the writer said that they put them in the show to answer in the last season. If you remember in like the first third episode or something like that, they went into the caves to get away from the beach and they found the two skeletons, one with the black rock, one with the right rock.
And that was Adam and Eve?
That's what everybody's kind of called them because they never figured out who they are. And the writer said they were going to tell us sometime in this next couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Who that is, to prove that they knew the story arc through the whole series. So is it Jack and Kate? Is it Bernard and Rose? Is it Sawyer and Juliet? But who is it?
But I thought you said it was Adam and Eve.
Well, no, he's saying that's what people called them because it was a man and a woman and they didn't know where they fit into them. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe it's Jacob and Mr. Black. Maybe their corporal forms that are interred inside the cave, but their spiritual forms are existing throughout the island.
I got to be honest. I don't feel caught up.
I will tell you that I would like to think that they had this entire thing mapped out from the beginning and it all has been carefully plotted. But the impression I get is that they've been improvising a lot on this show. For instance, Michael Emerson's character is a perfect example. Wasn't he originally, Ralph, only supposed to be on the show for a short time?
Yeah,
he
had a two or three episode arc. That was all he was supposed to be.
But he was so good.
He was supposed to be just some random other who came on that balloon. Remember the fake balloon crash that they created?
Right.
Henry Gale,
to
right.
To infiltrate the organization to find out what they knew.
So they took him hostage.
They took him hostage, but his character was so good, they made him the leader of the others. They created that character for him.
So they have been improvising along the way. So who knows how much they've been able to keep straight or how many stories will actually be completed this season.
I think Mr. and Mrs. Howell will finally give enough money to the professor who will be able to buy enough raw materials that he'll build a ship and the skipper will get everyone back to the mainland.
They'll get off the island?
Absolutely.
That's precious. That bitch fat.
That's a good point. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us one more time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I've got passes to give away to our very special advanced screening of The Wolfman.
This looks scary.
Benicio Del Toro is The Wolfman.
Yeah. Thursday, February 11th is the date. It's at the Grove here in Los Angeles. You get to see it before anybody else does. The movie hits theaters the next day on the 12th. But if you'd like to see it before anybody else, callers 1 through 5 right now. Get a pair of passes to see Wolfman from Universal.
Wolf.
Wolf. Wolf. The Wolfman. You're going to do the Wolfman giveaway? Give away the Wolfman tickets?
Yes, Dave does Dave. Speak English, right? He was born and raised in America, right?
Well, he doesn't speak Spanish, I'll tell you that.
He doesn't speak English either.
That's true.
It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs in stores today. If you want to pick up something new, you may want to check out Who Am I? By Nick Jonas and the Administration. Yeah, it's Nick's side project.
The Administration
the
is his
administration.
Band? Okay. Nick has a side project?
Should be called Nick Jonas and the Evacuation. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying by Evacuation?
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Rebirth. Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
Rebirth by Lil Wayne. Also on
Oh,
CD
finally?
Today.
That's coming out today? Awesome. Yeah.
Keeps Getting Better, A Decade of Hits by Christina Aguilera. It's hard to believe she's had a decade of hits already.
Wow.
Little Christine. Little X-Tina, as we used to call her.
Huh. Remember when the conversation was who has a better voice, her or Britney? Remember that?
Yeah, what were we thinking?
I don't know.
Hands down. And by the way,
it's not even close.
I think Christina's hotter than Britney is now, too.
Well, yeah.
Every time I see her, she looks terrific. She's in shape. She looks great. She's gotten better looking while Britney has slid down the other side of that scale.
Did you see the pictures of Britney at the Grammys?
Yes.
Terrible, terrible, horrible look.
Horrible, mousy brown hair and ugly clothes and just
fat,
paunchy, and just bad news.
She looked terrible.
Bad.
But at least she can't sing.
DVDs in stores today. Amelia, finally. I get to see the Amelia Earhart story starring Hilary Swank and Richard Gere. Oh, wait a minute. I have no interest in seeing that. New York, I Love You, with Natalie Portman, Blake Lively, Shia LaBeouf, and Bradley Cooper. How did that come and go?
I don't know.
I don't remember
I mean,
that being in theaters.
Cast.
Zombieland. Now there's a movie you should pick up
there
if you
go.
Haven't seen it in theaters. Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin. Outstanding film. And, of course, Yo Gabba Gabba, The Birthday Boogie.
Yeah!
Oh, I love Yo Gabba Gabba. But I don't like the Wolfman. He looks too scary for me. Is Kristen Bell in the Wolfman? Hell.
I'm with you.
All right, Oscar nominations came out this morning. In case you missed them, here they are. Quick recap. 10 movies get nominated for Best Picture this year. We did a little research, and turns out there was 43, apparently was the last year they had 10 nominees.
1943?
Yeah. But from the early 30s through the early 40s, there were anywhere from 8 to 12 pictures routinely nominated for Best Picture.
So just however many that came up?
It varied from year to year.
Huh.
So it's not without precedent that they've had this many people.
Was The Hangover nominated in 43?
It was, actually, okay. Yes.
Good, at least it was somewhere.
Errol Flynn stars in The Hangover. Oscar nominations. 10 pictures are nominated for Best Film. Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, An Education, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Precious, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air. If there was another movie called Up, it could have been Up, Up, Up in the Air.
Yes, it
that
could have
been awesome. But didn't come to pass.
No Hangover, though.
No Hangover, sir. Mm. Jeff Bridges, George Clooney, Colin Firth, Morgan Freeman, and Jeremy Renner are your nominated actors for Best Performance. Actresses, Sandra Bullock, Helen Mirren, Carey Mulligan, Gabourey Sidibe. Hey, but Albert, what be you be talking like a bit before, but? Meryl Streep, also nominated. Best Supporting Actor, Matt Damon, Woody Harrelson, Christopher Plummer, Stanley Tucci, and Christoph Waltz. Speaking of Woody Harrelson, did anyone see The Messenger, the movie he
I did
made?
Not.
I heard
no.
It was great. Apparently it was great. Sorry I missed that.
That Christopher Plummer, who's long been one of my favorite actors, by the way, 80 years old, nominated for his first Oscar today. 80.
That's amazing.
Other than Sound of Music, what could Christopher Plummer possibly have been in that you would have liked him in?
I don't know. I just think it's impressive that a guy like that is still working and at that level that he can get nominated for an award.
Right, but you can't name any other one movie. Of your favorite actors.
No, I mean, I've seen him in lots of movies.
Name
over the
one
years.
Of them other than Sound of Music.
They don't come to mind.
But he's one of your favorite actors.
He is, yes. He's a guy that I always enjoy when I come across him on TCM or, you know,
right.
American Movie Classics
when
or something.
When you come across him in that movie.
In whatever.
That
and
movie
the clips I've seen
in.
From this last station, he looks phenomenal in this as well.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
You sit on a throne of lies, sir.
I just like him. That's all I'd say, because I've always liked him. I've seen him in other stuff that doesn't come to mind,
all
but
right.
He's a very good actor.
Take it easy.
Penelope Cruz, Vera Farmiga, Anna Kendrick, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and Monique. Are your best supporting actors?
Come on, Monique.
No.
Come on.
No.
Hairy legs.
That was a Dexy's Midnight Runner song, wasn't it?
Come on, Monique. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Graham Nash is 68 years old today. Christie Brinkley is 56. Dwayne the Dog Chapman. He's a bounty hunter.
I hear that's true.
Plays by his own rules. He's an outlaw. He's 57 years old. Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots turns 44. And Shakira celebrates her 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The headline is, Australia has banned small breasts. That sounds like a story that requires some follow-up from the Kevin and Bean Show. We have that for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so from right now. But first, how about the Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
See, because it's a roundup.
Right.
No, never mind.
Therefore, a Western theme.
These are our favorite videos that are out right now. I don't know if you were watching the Winter X Games. I watched them all weekend long. And Sean White, who is in a class all by himself in snowboarding.
He is.
He, in practice, in warm-up, wiped out so horribly. I thought when I first saw it, he's dead.
Oh,
I mean, I
God.
Really thought he went way up in the air and did this spinning, spinning, spinning. And then he came down and hit his face on the edge of the superpipe, hit his face right on the edge, and his helmet exploded off of him.
Wow.
And he didn't exactly leap right up to say, hey, everybody, I'm okay.
He sort of started getting up, and then he realized he was a little dazed, but then they checked him out. They said he was okay. They were looking at his jaw, and then he went on and won the gold medal in that event.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy that that happened, and you have to see it if you haven't. We have the clip up, kevinandbean.com, Internet Roundup.
You see the helmet explode off his head. It was strapped on tightly. That is a block of ice that basically he took to the face.
Yeah, he did take that right to the face.
That's what she said.
And it looked rough.
Isn't it amazing that you could get up and have the confidence to have everything firing on all cylinders to put in a gold medal performance 10 minutes later?
Yeah, he went back and did it again. And then when they came to the competition, his first run was good enough that no one was even close. He took his second run just for the fun of it because nobody was even close. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Pee Wee Herman with an iPad. I don't know if you've seen this or not. But
this little baby's got Google Maps and music.
But the iPad doesn't allow you to run two programs at once.
But I can.
Okay, now this is a globe.
Oh, Globy.
This is a Globy. Globy, right.
I can show you maps and play music at the same time. Aruba, that's over here. Jamaica, that's over here.
So there you go.
Apple did a pretty good job, by the way, with the iPad just being announced last week to get it in the hands of people like Pee-wee, and that's a viral hit, and also to get Stephen Colbert to come out with one on the Grammys the other night. I mean, they're very smart about marketing like that.
There was a bizarre rapper called Die Antwoord. Word, two O's, I don't know how to say that. It's a dude and a chick, and it's a really strange video.
My style is UFO, totally unknown, you call with my new Zep flow. I'm hard to miss, you're going to this, you're going to that. The new set, so I do it a lot. Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. You can't f*** with the chosen one. I want to knock your arm, a ninja.
I think when we picked that one out, we were high. but he is a
well,
ninja.
You love ninjas, and yes. I think that's maybe how it made the cut.
Did you see the world kick to the balls on, was it ESPN Sports Science?
What?
I did see that,
what was
yes.
This?
Fox Sport West, sorry. World kick to the balls. There's a dude, and he's standing there, and they get an MMA fighter unblocked to kick him as hard as he possibly can.
Oh, my God.
In the balls.
And what's the point of that? Just to see if he could stand?
I don't know, but he goes on to explain later that he's had 5,000 kicks, so now it doesn't hurt anymore.
Balls.
Oh, I see.
Why you would do that and how bad the first 4,999 hurt?
How many times you threw up?
I don't know, but this is, you have to watch this video because, especially if you're a guy, you will cringe and fall to the floor even though he didn't.
American gladiator and MMA fighter Justice Smith
is ready to deliver a world record kick to combat key expert Kirby Roy's nuts.
Go.
That was a strong kick.
Man, no cup, no nut, bro. It's just straight up nuts.
Justice's foot rockets into Kirby's crotch at 22 miles an hour. Landing with 1,100 pounds of force.
Here's what I love about the clip, though, is that they replay the clip probably 100 times in a minute.
Sure.
And you can't take your eyes off of it. Wow. You go, how is this happening?
And then they interview the poor guy, and he's like, I really haven't been any kind of side effects. I'm actually fine. Doesn't feel that bad.
He did say that he'd taken 5,000 kicks to the ball, so he's trained himself to not feel pain or something. I don't know.
But why decide to be that guy?
I don't know. How is that your claim to fame? I have no idea. Here's a commercial for Axe body spray that cleans your balls. I didn't realize that existed.
So no one wants to play with dirty equipment. That's why you have to keep your balls clean. Problem is, bar of soap just doesn't cut it.
Well, how can guys clean their balls so that they're more enjoyable to play with?
The Axe Detailer cleans your balls. Why don't we start with these small balls? With a soft side for lather and a rough side for scrubbing, this can make any ball sparkly and new. Go ahead and play with those clean balls, Denise.
Wow. I could play with these balls all day.
Yeah. Okay. Again, we're talking about tennis balls. We're talking about soccer balls. I don't want anyone to misunderstand.
What are you talking about? Oh, I didn't think of that. So, do you remember when Jimmy Kimmel was on Jay Leno? And he did his whatever the top 10 questions are. Whatever.
10 at 10, right?
Yes. And Jimmy just slayed him about the late night thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a setup. Even knowing Jimmy, it seemed to me like the questions were leading enough that I thought Jay was in on it. But apparently that wasn't the case. And Jimmy on Friday night explained exactly how it came down from Jay's producers and what he wanted to do with it.
Now, before they do these 10 to 10 interviews, our producer calls to go over all the questions. So I get on the phone with the producer and he goes through about 30 questions. Almost none of them have anything to do with what's going on in late night. The question's like, what's your junk food weakness? And, you know, I say to the guy, you know, a little bit of this is fine, but I really think we have to talk about what's going on with Jay and Conan, because that's what people want to hear about, not about my junk food weakness. We'll talk about it, but there's been a lot of talk about this stuff, and we don't want to beat it to death. But what he did not understand is, I did want to beat it to death. I like beating things to death. And so I did. Because if I go on that show and answer 10 questions about junk food, I'm the one that looks like a jerk.
So then he does go on the Jay Leno show and gives what I thought were the funniest answers I've ever heard. And it was so brutal that that's why I thought Jay had to be in on it, or he would have like quit or
something. And he didn't like spar with him at all, because Jimmy says later in that, you know, he's a comedian.
Right.
I thought we'd mix it up.
That's what he was supposed to be.
Jay invited a better comedian onto his show who owned him, and Jay just looked terrible as a result of it.
Here are a few highlights of that.
Number five, you're known for pranks. What's the best prank you ever pulled?
I think the best prank I ever pulled was I told a guy that 5 years from now, I'm going to give you my show. And then when the 5 years came, I gave it to him, and then I took it back almost instantly. Wow. It was hilarious.
Ever order anything off the TV?
Like NBC ordered your show off the TV?
No. What do you fear most?
I fear the network will move my show to 10 o'clock.
Right. Is there anything you haven't hosted that you want to host?
Oh, this is a trick, right?
Where
you get me to host the Tonight Show and then take it back from
me? No.
I'm not going to. Listen. No. Listen, Lucy, I'm not Charlie Brown. I don't fall for that trick.
So apparently he wasn't supposed to come up with those answers, but Jimmy being Jimmy, which is why awesome. We love him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just slams Jay in 100 different ways. Go to kevinandbean.com. Internet Roundup. And if you'd like to see any of the older videos, there's a search button at the top right of our website. Just search Internet Roundup and you will find all of them.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it's 15 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Boy, is she tall. So I guess Taylor Swift's really tall. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's tall.
That's an update.
That's some insight.
Sure is tall.
That's just in, Rodney. Thank you very much for that.
Sure is tall. Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Ralph Garman has joined us for a final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
All morning long, we've been talking about the Oscar nominations, which were announced early this morning. In case you missed them, I'll give you a quick recap. There are 10 motion pictures nominated for Best Film this year, so maybe your favorite is on the list.
Maybe not.
Kevin's is not. The Hangover did not make it.
The Hangover didn't make it. Am I just being ridiculous on that? That was one of the best movies of the year.
It absolutely
top
was.
Top 10?
And we thought when they expanded it. One of the funniest comedies has been made in a long, long time.
Right. It's not top 10.
I agree with Kevin. I'm disappointed it is not on the list.
Here's the thing, though. It is pretty out there in terms of bawdy, vulgar comedy.
Right.
Which does not sit well with most of the people who vote for these award-type presentations.
Well, then they're bad. It's not our fault.
You know, usually a comedy has to be sort of clever. You know,
this is beneath them to vote for? Is that what you're...
I don't think it's beneath them.
Oh.
I'm just saying I think they think that kind of humor is a little easy, perhaps. It's an easy target.
And they're wrong. They are wrong, though. As we pointed out, it's just as hard to make that movie as it is to make a sophisticated comedy.
Yeah, a movie, you know, Woody Allen comedies tend to fare better. Those types of comedies tend to fare better with critics and with the people who give out awards because it tends to be a little bit more sophisticated level of humor, which they seem to respond better to.
Hmm.
I think a movie like The Hangover is a crowd pleaser, but aren't necessarily on the same page as some of these people.
So but 10 movies, none of them The Hangover.
Here's the thing that I say, and I get into this argument with people all the time about music, too. Just because something is popular doesn't automatically mean it's bad. It can still be excellent.
Yes.
And The Hangover is a great example of a movie that, yes, it was a huge crowd pleaser and a big box office hit. It was also an excellently made and acted and written movie.
And it was lowbrow. I mean, I think it was broad in its comic targets, but it also hit those targets exceptionally well.
Right.
It was laugh out loud funny.
Well, that's a mistake.
So what more can you expect from a comedy other than to be really, really funny? What other criteria should you hold it to, you know? Anyway, it's not on the list. Avatar is, as is The Blind Side. Now, The Blind Side, I found just a pandering mess of crap, that movie.
I saw that. It was okay.
It's a pandering mess of crap.
Yeah, I would definitely not put it in the top 10.
It is a pandering mess of crap is what it
is. Pandering mess of crap.
It's talk about easy targets. It's that BS, overly sentimental, heartstring crap with the underprivileged kid and the Christian woman who's going to save him and blah, 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 blah. Hallmark card sentimental ball of crap.
And there wasn't even a tiger in it.
That's correct. Or Mike Tyson. Neither.
I think Sandra Bullock's performance is getting some attention, justly enough, I suppose. But as a film, top 10? No. No. No, sir, I say.
But it has been nominated. No, sir.
District 9 belongs there.
That's my favorite movie, I think, of 2009.
Mine was Up in the Air, which is also on the list. George Clooney's film. And Education, which I haven't seen, but I've heard excellent things about. Also on the list. The Hurt Locker, great. Inglourious Bastards, great. Precious, that good. A Serious Man, didn't say it, but it's about a gay dude. That's always a crowd pleaser at the Oscars.
That's a single man.
Serious Man, I did see and I loved it.
Welcome to my life, Ralph.
That's the problem with the Jewish guy.
We've all been working with Kevin too long. We're turning into him.
I love A Serious Man. Oh, I'm glad that's on there. Up, loved it. 9th and 10th Up in the Air. However, the problem I have with Up, couldn't you give The Hangover Up slot since they already have a Best Animated Picture category in the Oscars?
Ooh, that's a good
and
point.
And Up's going to win that.
Yeah.
Can't you just give
Why would they do that?
Didn't they open it up to animation to be in the Best Picture category recently, where before it could only be in the animated category?
Yes, but how many Oscars does Up need?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question. One fewer. I can tell you that.
Why not start a comedy category if you want to start a separate category?
That's what I'm saying. It's so they don't
they really
like comedy.
Should.
Start a category so that the comedy people can
That's
be
what
involved.
The Golden Globes do to much rousing success.
Hmm.
I'm out of time, but those are your big nominations. So for the rest of them, you can find them anywhere. Pretty much. I mean, they came out early this morning. They're almost everywhere on the internet now. I mean, come on. We live in the modern age, right?
Sure do. Don't be lazy. Get out there and find them yourself.
Exactly. I'll just say, well, we're running out of time. There's other things to talk about.
All right.
And, I mean, I want to talk about the fact that Ginger Spice's fiancé got popped trying to buy blow.
Uh-oh.
That's a little trouble in paradise, isn't it? This guy's super wealthy, by the way. This Henry Beckwith. It's a great name, by the way.
Yeah. I'm Henry Beckwith. Yes, I am a British fiancé, and I'm marrying one of the Spice Girls. Now, who's holding? Who's got an eight ball for old Hank Beckwith?
You think she was doing his bidding?
I don't know, but they were at a nightclub in Chelsea Saturday night. When he went outside and apparently started trying to hunt down someone who was selling cocaine outside the club. He looked suspicious. The police checked into his questioning of several people who were lingering in alleys and such. And it turns out...
Who's got blow?
He was looking for more blow, but apparently had some already in his pocket.
Not enough.
When they frisked him, and apparently he's in a bit of a spot of trouble, as they say in England.
Gingers have souls! You don't know me. You're not God.
See, because she was Ginger Spice, and so Bean ties it all together with that.
Thank you for clarifying. I did not understand.
For your consideration. Welcome.
Sadly, I speak Bean, so I'm able to understand
how
the brain works, or it doesn't. Matthew Fox, speaking of Lost, we were talking about the fact it comes back tonight. Very excited.
Very excited.
He has announced that this is his last TV show.
Ever?
Oh, really? He said he's done a ton of television between Party of Five and Lost, and now it is time for him to move on. He's either looking to get into feature films, or he said perhaps he will become a full-time pilot. He just got his pilot's license, and he loves flying so much that he said, maybe show business isn't what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Maybe it's been fun, but I'm going to move on to something else.
He didn't have a particularly good time on that plane ride that he took over the island. I think he would want to stay out of the air after that. You wreck once, isn't that enough?
It's a good point.
Oh, you're playing off Kevin.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Evangeline Lilly, by the way, said she is retiring from acting.
Really?
After this is all over. Not interested. This really not does it for her. Doesn't really do it for her anymore.
Was this show not a good experience?
No, great experience. They said they had the time of their lives. But
can't top it, maybe?
Maybe. They won't ever run across something
like
this.
You're not
going
to work
again.
In Hawaii for years again.
Sawyer said, Josh Holloway said he's just getting the hang of it. He said, I've been seasoned now. I've done this for 8 years. Every day I've been acting. I'm getting really good at this. I'm looking forward to the next gig.
Yeah.
But Matt and Evangeline Lilly apparently have had an ass full, and they're moving on to other things.
And she hasn't acted all that long, right?
No, she was a model before, and this was her first big role. She said she may go on to behind-the-scenes stuff, doing a producing or directing or writing or something like that, but not so thrilled by acting.
Is that
anymore.
Interesting?
Yeah.
Because she could easily get another job.
Of course. Oh, yeah. They all could. They're hot commodities now.
Yeah.
Hey, she was in the Hurt Locker, for God's sake.
Yeah, there you go.
All joking aside, you look at your pilot and it's Jack from Lost. Honestly. You look at him and you go, no.
It doesn't bother me a bit
it
if
does.
My pilot is Matthew Fox. It doesn't bother me at all.
A bit.
He wasn't flying the original plane on the show, Kevin. He's a doctor, for God's sakes. That's what concerned me more than anything. He's not a pilot.
Doctor and a pilot.
A big flash of light's going to come, and I'm going to be back in 1974, Kevin. Am I afraid of that? No.
You should be.
No.
All right. I withdraw the question.
I'm exhausted. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Shakira turns 33 years old. At least that's what her hips told me. I don't know if I can believe them or not.
Tell the truth usually?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whether I can believe them.
You can't make this queerness up.
Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots. He is 44 years old today. Would you be nervous if Robert DeLeo was your pilot too? Because you're pretty driving to a stone temple?
Oh my God.
No, I don't think I'd go there, but...
I'm just saying.
It's about as much of a risk. I'm just saying.
Dwayne the Dog Chapman. Bounty hunter extraordinaire. You know him as Dog the Bounty Hunter. He celebrates his 57th birthday today. Christy Brinkley.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
Christy Brinkley is 56 years old. And Graham Nash. Big star in the 60s, I guess, was really when he made his claim to fame. He was in a band called the Hollies for many years, and then went on to Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have images that you saw when you were a kid that you've never been able to get out of your mind.
I
have one of those. I certainly have one of those that happened, and I can see it today like I did then.
I'm dying to know what
good
that
times.
Is. I will tune in tomorrow to listen.
I have one as well from when I was about 5 or 6 years old. Something that I will never, ever forget. And you know me, I remember nothing of my childhood.
That's true. This may be the only thing you remember.
This image I will never forget.
Is it someone with their hand down your pants?
Yeah. Which explains everything else.
Queen. Butch Packer. Yeah. Bill Gardner.
Fruit-picking
sodomite.
No. Yeah. The star of Human Target.
Mark Valley. He's awesome.
Also husband to Anna Torv, by the way.
That's correct.
Yes. He wins twice.
Fringe. He sure does. American Idol highlights tomorrow. Ozzy Osbourne tomorrow.
Wow.
I got a great instant request. Should we send the Armenian comedian to jail and the fourth grade fight club? All tomorrow morning.
Is the request, whether we should send him to jail or not? Because we can solve that right now.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including how about some System of a Down? Also, Muse, Red Hot Chili Peppers, STP, who Kevin will never fly with, Cage the Elephant, Rise Against, and more coming up after this on K-Rock.